Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and smells of North America. And as always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an esteemed honor and blessing to be able to talk to you from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio. As always, we open up the show giving thanks to the great God of our forefathers and foremothers that answers to many names. And being balanced, we understand that there is no God without the Goddess. And so in the meiotic balance, we give honor to both twin halves of that divine essence. We give thanks to our ancestors and those who have paved the way and those who have struggled and those who have given us an example of nationhood, brotherhood, and sisterhood. We give thanks for all of those who were freedom fighters and liberators and strugglers and nation builders, mothers and fathers, and those who showed us divine civilization. We honor you on this Black Power Radio. And we give thanks for every single Panther Regiment, all of those that came representing that resilient spirit, that warrior spirit, giving us that spirit that our people have carried for so long to fight against the oppression. We're thankful for every regiment. And, of course, we here at the New Black Panther Party are thankful for our own start there in Dallas, Texas in 1989. We're thankful for that upstart, and we're thankful for a divine one who came to us, one who, I say, in the spirit of the Black Power, in the Black Power movement, in that spirit, he's a divine man. I'm talking about our Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, one whom we consider and call the Black Power Mujahideen. And we're thankful for our big brother and friend and champion who is in our midst and who is talking and teaching and molding and organizing and doing everything he can to pull us together and to rally the dry bones and to lift us up. I'm talking about the warrior lawyer and that five-star general and our big brother, our national chairman, doctor and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And so we welcome you and we say peace to you. We say Assalamu Alaikum and Hotep and Shalom. We say free the land, black laws for all black people. And as the Black Power General say, what's up? We're here welcoming you on our radio show. And, of course, we're talking about that raging war for Africa. That raging war for Africa. It is broadcast now all across your TV screens. You're hearing it all on your radio stations. It's on every newspaper. It's on every stand. The raging war for Africa. There is no corner of the planet Earth that has not been touched by this war. There is no corner of the hills and smells of North America that does not desire to be cool in the hot sun today after 400 years. There is no place here today that is at peace. Every single corner of the planet Earth is in a raging battle. It is in a fight for survival. And we are now facing the gravest problem of any people in the world, and that is the unity of 30 to 40 million black men and black women who once didn't know ourselves, who didn't know each other, who didn't know our purpose, who didn't know where we came from. We're now facing the gravest problem of any people in the world. And so it is on that basis that we come to you this afternoon. Wherever you are, if you're there by your computer, if you're listening by phone, or if you'll be listening to us later on, if you're listening via the internet, we come to you today humbly. We don't come to you proud and boisterous. We come to you humbly. We don't have a chip on our shoulder. We're coming as your servants and saying that now is the time for the black man and the black woman to begin to love one another and to begin to serve one another. It is that time that the black man and black woman must be able to now lead each other and understand each other, and that we have to now not be above one another, but be right there on the ground with each other, and that we have to go down into the valley, as they say, the valley of the shadow of death with each other and pull ourselves to life and pull ourselves to shore. We must now do that great time, which is called nation time. It's called nation time. And so now, as we once ruled ourselves in the past, and there was not a white man in sight, and that's what I'm saying, that there was not a white face, a white pale face in sight. We once ruled ourselves. Now it is time for us to rule ourselves again. We have to go as it was in the beginning. And so now you can't be left alone to do what you want to do. You have to be organized, and you have to be pulled together. As we are not independently ruling ourselves, now we have to be pulled together, and we have to organize. And our black leadership and our black potential, our black qualities, that which makes us great and that which is buried with inside of us, it now must be fashioned. And we must now be put in tune with the needs of every black man and black woman, 30 to 40 million black men and women who are now without our name, language, culture, religion, folkways, foreways, and norms. And so now we ask that you pay attention to Black Power Radio. We ask that you pay attention to the mission and commission of our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. We ask that you pay attention to the program and the mission of the new Black Panther Party. We ask that you pay attention to what we're doing, the mission and the commission of the Day of Action movement. This little movement that we have started, this great movement that we have started here in the hills and smells of North America, it has spread and will spread even further all around the world. It will leave no stone unturned. And so that which you see now in Africa is only a sign that if we would unite amongst ourselves, if they are now resisting the imperialistic forces and the imperialistic domination of Africa, the capitalistic domination of Africa, the Zionistic domination of Africa, as they are now resisting, it is a sign that we here in the hells and smells of North America, the sons and daughters of Africa, can resist in all of its forms. And so on our show today, brothers and sisters, we're joined, and I'm going to go right ahead and open up her mic. We're going to be joined by our sister who has been coordinating a mighty effort across this nation, across the country. She's been coordinating to make sure that our brothers and sisters who need relief and who need real humanitarian aid, that they're able to get that in a speedy time and quick as light travels. She's working with a vision that was put on by our national chairman and some others called the Tuba to Johnny Express, where we intend to send 3 tons of goods, of school clothes, of shoes and things that our people need to Africa. They're in Senegal. We intend to send that which never makes it from the Red Cross and that which never makes it from these other Caucasian entities that steal your money and pocket your resource. We intend to help our people since they have been war-torn and kicked out, and the battle for Africa rages on, and the white man intends to leave no stone unturned in taking over Africa. We intend to help our people as best we can. And so we'll also be joined by our brother who has worked for many years, who is an ally. He's been an ally and is an ally with our Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and he to this day, right now, is a friend and ally of our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. And so you know that that means that any ally of the Black Power General and any ally of our national chairman that is an ally and a friend of ours, he is also a man who works and is connected to our brother Mustafa Mbeki, who is one of the presidential candidates coming up. He's a presidential candidate, and we wish him the best in running for office and hope that he takes and hopes he succeeds and does better than some of those who have sold us out in Africa in the past. And so we'll be joined by our brother Donald, who'll be coming right about 8:30, coming on right about 8:30. Then behind that, another fireball who, and let me not fail to mention, Brother Donald is connected to Africa. Let me just say that. Very well connected and travels back and forth, a true Pan-Africanist. We'll be joined by another freedom fighter, hopefully two freedom fighters, a husband and wife team who have been in the struggle for many, many years and who have fought on many, many different fronts and who are true to heart, Pan-Africanists, true to heart, Black nationalists. Most importantly, they're spiritually sound. And they, as our Black Power General and our national chairman teach, they believe in their faith and their fight. They believe in their faith and their fight. So they're not sitting around asking what should be done. What can I do? They're not sitting around looking up in the sky with their hands out talking about what's going to happen. They're taking their faith and they're making something happen. They're taking their belief and they're putting their faith to work. And we're talking about that bold Imam, Brother Imam Bilal Sabir. Legendary Imam Bilal Sabir, and behind every strong Black man, of course, is that strong Black woman. I don't say behind, I'm going to say right next to and sometimes in front of that Black man is that strong Black woman. And so we'll be joined by our comrade, who is a sister warrior, who never fails to amaze and always is on point when she brings her critique and her oratory. Always on point when she organizes and deals with the youth and deals with those who have issues and has trouble. We're talking about our sister, Lady Fatima, who we're expecting to join us as well, his wife and his backbone. And so let's get right off into it now. And so help me to bring to Black Power Radio a sister who is no stranger of ours, but she may be a stranger to some of you. But we hope that by the end of this show that you're very well acquainted with who she is, and very well acquainted with the work that we're doing and that she's coordinating. Help me to bring to Black Power Radio our sister, Sister Ayira Ife. Black Power, sister.
Hey, Black Power, Brother Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? Co-host
good,
on tonight's
good.
Show.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Talk to us and update us. We want to know what's going on before we bring Brother Donald on in about 15 or so minutes. We want to know what's happening with this Tuba Tijani Express. We've been hearing about it now for some weeks, and we see the post on Facebook. We know the flyer's out. There's the buzz that's created, and it's all on the website. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes, I can. Before I get into that, Brother Sean, I want to also tell the people out here to be sure and call in for Brother Troy Davis at 404-656-5651. And press 1. You know, I want to make sure everybody got that information just real quick before I get into talking about the Tuba Tijani.
Yes, ma'am.
But in regards to what we're doing right now for Senegal, everything actually is going very, very, very positive. We've been getting a lot of calls abroad. I talked to some sisters in Jamaica. And, I mean, our agenda is getting out there globally. And right now, I think we're on the forefront of just tearing down these walls, you know, what's been upheld so long and so many years. But our supplies for Senegal Drive is just taking off. I mean, taking full speed ahead. And, I mean, I'm real happy about it. I'm excited about it. I mean, words can't describe how I feel about it every time I get a call or every time somebody hit us on Facebook. But I want to reemphasize to everybody, if they would just keep on continuing to send in their donations, clothes, shoes, school supplies, anything, I mean, just anything and everything, you know, and we're trying to get all the shipping information so it won't be a burden of cost on people. Most of it is going to be on the MBPP because we do realize it's a economical recession. But, I mean, the Tuba Tu Johnny is just taking off, and I think everybody should want to be a part of history and bridging the gap between Africa. Don't come on at the last minute when it's gotten successful and everybody's talking about it and then, you know, be that Negro on the corner and say, well, I want to get on board. It might be too late. You need to jump on board right now.
Yeah, don't wait. Don't sit around, as I'm saying in the intro, don't sit around and ask what can we do. If Sister Iyer, do us a favor, kind of explain to us why it is important. I know this may seem elementary, but, I mean, we have to cover all bases. Why
right.
is it important for the black man and woman here in the hells and smells of North America with all the problems that we have and everything that's going on in this current economy, in our current situation, why is it important for us to cover what's happening in Africa?
Because we all, for me, it should be first and foremost because we all scream we're black nationalists, we all scream RBG, we all scream global African supremacy, but we're not doing anything to bridge the gaps in Africa. This right here is going to lay the foundation and the groundwork to our repatriation efforts, possibly trading goods with our brothers and sisters overseas so we can set up black businesses, get ready to go back home, and we can have allies. We don't have to depend on the European system that we hate so much. You know, if we bridge these gaps and get serious about pan-Africanism and repatriation efforts, and this is, we laying the foundation right here. To me, it gets no plainer and it gets no better than this. You know, you have to create allies. And you're not going to create allies just on Facebook.
Right on. What is the international spirit like? When you talk to our family that's there
mm-hmm.
in Jamaica and you talk to our family that's there in Africa, what is the international spirit like right now? And what
do
they expect from us over here?
Well, I mean, it's like you wouldn't believe. The sister, and I'm going to go ahead and shout her out. Her name is Sister Zion, and she's in Jamaica. And she's one of the ones that I've talked to quite often. I've talked to a few people in London also. I mean, just totally, totally excited. They're blown away, you know, with this effort. And, I mean, she said she just felt like that when she had reached out to call me that day, she had been putting it out. She felt like that we had been knowing each other for years, you know, and she just, I mean, it's just beautiful. You can't explain the excitement that I hear in each one of our sisters and brothers' voice when they call. They're excited. They're doing whatever they can to help. And if they're doing it from a broader, you know, viewpoint, I mean, we should really be on our business here in the States. And we can't just say, well, it's just me doing this. It's just you can still get up and go and get things moving with just one person. Sometimes it's better to have one person than have a whole bunch of dead weights. You can maneuver a little bit better. But, I mean, morale overseas and everywhere is phenomenal.
Do you think that the ancestors, those who came before us, would be happy with our effort?
Oh, I think they would be very, very happy with our effort. I'm happy about our effort. Every time, you know, I get a call, every time I get Facebook, every time I'm looking at different things that the chairman is doing, I mean, I get excited. It's enough to make you excited. It's enough to make you not sleep at night to see what else we can do in order to get this project off the ground, because this is just the tip of the iceberg. We're breaking in, you know, just by shipping these clothes and shoes and school supplies. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is what we're letting the people hear about, but we're big and building some bigger, I mean, fantastic things. I know Marcus Garvey is clapping his hands.
That's what I'm talking about.
This is what we're revealing now.
Yeah, I'm not asking that to be funny. I'm saying I know a lot of our people that we revere, many of our ancestors and those that came before us. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to just make the connection and show us that how we have an opportunity now to make the program
mm-hmm.
of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey real. You got an opportunity
right.
now to make the teachings of Martin Delaney real. You know what I mean? Like
right.
now we don't have to sit and talk about what they would have done. Now we can get in and do something.
And I hate to keep patting our organization on its back, but, I mean, we all just bleed and breathe MBPP. And I mean, if I got to toot our horn, I'm going to do it. We're the only organization that has our own black newspaper. We're the only organization that's consistent. I mean, we don't ask other people to do anything. And like I say, right now, to be honest, we're the only organization really bridging that gap. I'm going to just be bold and say that. I mean, we're keeping our word. We're making our word bond to the people, you know, and I feel like they should give us just as much support as they give the ancestors that planted this seed in order for us to make these changes and get these changes and everything moving. You know, so, I mean, I feel like, you know, praises is due, you know, right now to MBPP because we're connecting and making moves that other people are just not able to.
Okay, what would you? We're gonna bring Brother Donald on right about 8:40. He tells me come bring him on about 8:40. But what do you think about this media whiteout? I'm not gonna call it a blackout; it's a whiteout. What do you think about this media whiteout about our international effort, the relief campaigns, and the good work that we're doing right now?
The media whiteout. I'm assuming that we're talking about our buddies, you know, sitting back, you know, our white-collar buddies. But the media whiteout, of course, you know, they're going to try to play it down, you know, make it lesser than what it is. But as we all know, they're good at pushing their propaganda. And some Negroes, you know, fall into it and they believe it. But, I mean, we can't – everything, you know, that come out their mouth, it's a lie. So we can't roll with anything they say. We're black nationalists and Pan-African. And I mean, that should be the farthest from the truth, anything that they say. We shouldn't be listening to their media outlets anyway, just maybe for some laughs or to get just tidbits of the truth. We have our own media outlets.
Yes, ma'am. Would do me a favor, kind of just talk to the people 1 second. I'm Brother Donald Carmen. I'm gonna pull him online. But just holler at the people for a second.
Okay. Well, the only thing, like I said, I can really talk about is the efforts of the New Black Panther Party, what we're doing right now for the Senegal supply drive. And I just want to reemphasize that donations are a must right now in each city, even if it's not a drop location right now in your city. You can contact me on Facebook, Ayira Ayotunde, Ify, AYIRA AYOTUNDEIFE. And we also have on Facebook a United Front Pan-Africanism Ministry. And if you're interested in setting up a supply drive in your city, like I said, you don't have to have a drop-off location. Just call me, and you can set up one yourself. You can get all that information out yourself and have a drop location and just get it going from there, and we'll have someone to come pick it up. And my contact number is 405-294-2283. Brother Sean, you still there? Okay, I guess we'll stand down for a minute, family, until Brother Sean get back. Oh, and for those who didn't catch it in the beginning about Brother Troy Davis, also be sure you jot that number down so you can call the parole board for him. Again, that's for Troy Davis, 404-656-5651. Troy Davis, 404-656-5651. And again, we're going to stand down until Brother Sean get back.
Peace and blessings, family. I'm back, and Sister Ayira, I know you're probably over there sweating some bullets. I had to talk to Brother Donald. Brother Donald just calling in, trying to get this 411 on the show and what's happening. I had to call in, and so I'm sorry, apologize, but I'm here. But bottom line is, family, support the Tuba to Johnny Express. That is the bottom line. I wanted to know about the whiteout of the media, because We've been doing these days of action since April the 23rd on to June 25th, now going off into October the 1st, and that it has blossomed and taken another department with this international trade, and so something like this, you would think that something this newsworthy in the wake of war-torn Libya, in the wake of war-torn Tunisia, in the wake of war-torn Egypt, you know, all of these war-torn areas where you have brothers and sisters here in North America that are campaigning and pulling our resources, putting our pennies together, our dollars, and everything that we can to help our people, you would think it'd be front-page news.
Exactly.
But guess what's front-page news? You know, what Kim Kardashian's wearing, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So that's why I asked you that question, sister. But just to keep it on point, what do we need now at this point to push it all the way over the top? What does the Tuba to Johnny Express, those that are listening and those that will listen later on in the future, what do we need right now to do to push this thing all the way over the top as we're right now really over the halfway mark for our deadline? What is our deadlines? Where can we send our stuff? What can we do?
Our deadline is going to be September the 25th. That's when we want to have all the donations in, you know, in at some point to where we can begin picking them up, you know, at the different drop locations. And like I say, October the 1st, that's the day we'll be shipping them out to Senegal. But September the 25th is when all the donations, it will be good if they were in each city. And what we still need, just because we're trying to ship a lot of stuff, 3 tons is a lot of stuff. And that's like 6,000 pounds. And also,
say
another thing,
that's
6,000 pounds, 3 tons. So that's what we're trying to ship out, and that's a lot of stuff. So we need shoes, clothes, school supplies, just anything and everything. And Brother Sean, you know, I'm big on, you know, monies. You know, I mean, it could be small, it could be large. I mean, but we do need monetary donations would be good also. And, I mean, it can be small. It can be $5. It can be $10 because anything that we get donation-wise, either clothes or monies or something like that, is going to be used on what we're trying to do because we're trying to ship and move everything ourselves. You know, and we're going to have the fuel, you know, cars, truck, and I mean, it's a lot of things that's going into the project. So, I mean, we do need clothes and all that stuff. Monetary items would be good as well. And when you get in contact with me, I can give you the exact information you need in order to send monetary donations as well. And if it's any black trucking companies out there, if they could please also get in touch with me at 405-294-2283. But
yeah,
go ahead.
What I'm saying is, don't back up and don't punk out off that point. Our people, man, we spend money for everything. We spend money for everything. Right now, most of us right now got cable TV in our house. We on this internet. We got all kind of little luxuries and things that we afford for ourselves. And the point is that you got to put a little bit to the side. We're not asking you to spend all your bill money. We ain't asking you to put up your car money, none of that type of stuff that some of these pimping preachers do. We're sitting there saying put something to the side for this Tuba to Johnny Express. Honorable Marcus Mosai Garvey put together the Black Steam Lineship. He didn't do that putting together corn and peas. They put money together.
Exactly. You know,
go ahead, sis.
I had somebody tell me that's the reason I really put that information out. They said, well, you know, can't your chairman provide all of that stuff? And, you know, I said it before I know it, Sean. You know, I'm quick at the mouth. I said, well, why should he? You know, I mean, this is one man. We can't put everything on our chairman's back. He's one man. We need to get off of our lazy ass and get $5 and $10 together and just put it in a pot and do what we need to do. And
truthfully,
don't be sitting back criticizing, you know,
truthfully,
saying what we should. And
truthfully, and get and get your hand out the chairman's pocket. That's number one. You don't worry about what that man's working with. Worry about what you're working with. I mean, at the end of the day, whoever said that, get your hand out of his pocket. That man gets all.
Yeah.
You can't count how much money that man gets to this struggle.
Yeah.
Most of y'all don't know. Man, be rolling around, maxing out cards and everything. Get your hand out of his pocket.
Exactly.
Anyway, let me go to the phone line real quick before we bring on our brother Donald. 832-775. You're on the air. Enjoying our conversation. This is Black Power Radio. Your question and comment, please, Black Power.
Black Power, this is Kendrick Horman. I'm from Houston, Texas, 19 years old. I just had a little situation.
What's happening?
You hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, bro.
This is Kendrick Horman. I'm 19 years old. I called the national assistant earlier this week. At the schoolhouse, we got a little situation going on where they came up with this crazy rule. And I'm at a college. I'm a sophomore in college. And 80% of the school is like straight athletes. And, of course, 80% of those athletes are black.
Mm-hmm.
So they came up with some kind of rule. They admit all these students from all kinds of backgrounds. Kids, they, you know what I'm saying, they get these kids with phenomenal talent but don't have the grades, sneak them in. And they came up with some kind of weird rule that, out of nowhere, wasn't written in paper, none of that, that if you don't have over a 2.5, they've been kicking people out of school left and right. They told kids, if you owe money and you don't have your money, everything paid by November, which the semester don't end to December, we kicking you out. Now, me, my grade's cool. Yeah, I'm owing money or whatever, but it's like people is struggling left and right, and my thing is they had a football coach last year. He got kicked out for nonsense, taking all the kids' money. The school ain't cheap. Some people on scholarship still got to pay bread, like myself. So we getting robbed, you know what I'm saying? We missing coaches. We don't even have a full coaching staff, and we wondering where all our bread going, where all our funds and stuff going. But we making
you
money.
Know what, you know what, brother? This is Zaira. I think I tried to contact you today, 832, because I had a text message. But to answer your question on that, what have you – is it targeting minority students or what is it? Is it a HBCU?
Now the school is not. They say back in the day it used to be, you know what I'm saying, HBCU, but like we on Indian land, so it's a lot of, you know what I'm saying, Indians that go here, like the Samoans and stuff like that. But the athletes,
mm-hmm.
football, basketball, track, we all black, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they go. So we bring in the grid. Now my problem, I had a little situation yesterday. Me and my roommate, his car wasn't working. So we go to housing, we try to go get our key fixed. The dude, my roommate, told me, he was like, hey, you think you'll be able to help me with my car? White dude, he sat down, he was like, are you telling me? No, he was like, are you demanding me or are you asking? My roommate turned around, looked at me, laughed. He like, why do you think I'm playing? So he was like, oh, we can sit here all day. I was like, well, you know what? We can sit here all day too, and we'll just annoy the hell out of you. He was like, well, I'm getting paid by the hour, so you can do whatever you want. I don't give a damn.
But the thing he failed to realize is you brothers are paying his salary by attending
that
university.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I was like, you know what I'm saying, y'all already taking our bread, so, I mean, it's what up. So he mouthing off, and it's about five of us. We just waiting. We come from evening, and we wait. So the cops start talking, blah, blah, blah. And we finally get the key. I say, you pigs have a nice day. He grabs up. When I was leaving, I told the one dude, he wasn't a cop, he just worked for the school. I said, you need to fix your attitude. He said, you fix your attitude. And I stuck my head in the door, and I was like, you pigs have a nice day. The cop stood up real quick, grabbed for his mace, and he started shaking it. Stick your head back in if you want to, boy. So I'm like, and my friends, they holding me back. They're like, come on, let's go. So we get out of football practice today. This probably happened 45 minutes ago. We walking. I happen to see the cop. He going to his truck. I'm walking with my boys. I say, how you doing today, pig? He rushed over to me, grabbed his little gun and everything. What you say to me, boy? I say, I just asked you how you was doing. He's like, you know what, give me your ID. I cooperated, gave him my ID, all that. And he gave me a ticket, gave me a fine. So we coming out. We go eat or whatever. Him and his boys, they stop me and just just harassing me. They gave me a ticket for harassing. I was like, that's freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want. I didn't threaten you. I didn't do anything to you. If you felt offended, that's you.
Right on. Right on.
Okay, and
what
part of Texas you in, brother?
In Houston.
He's in Houston. Okay, that's you, sister.
Yeah, that's me. But I'm like this, you know. I feel like, first of all, you know, you are giving your bread to that university, so really, pretty much, that pecker will work for you, you know. So, I mean, as far as him, you know, you paying his salary, and as long as he's addressing you as boy, you address him as pig. And what y'all need to do is y'all need to get together and start having some meetings and write down each one of these incidents, start taking names, incidents, dates and times and all that, and you need to file it with the university. I'm assuming it's a Pecklewood University. Start filing it with the university and go from there. Start making some noise. Start getting some rallies together, you know, some protests together, because that's your right. You have freedom to do that.
Yes, sir. Brother Kendrick, you heard all that?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you back. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I understand. But see, my thing is, like, I'm a big fan of music. I'm a big fan of the Last Poets. You know how they say, Last Poets, niggas are scared of revolution. And that's how I feel. Like, a lot of them down for the, what they say they down for the cause, and a lot of them will be there to record when you getting beat up, you know what I'm saying, getting screwed over by the white man. But it's not a lot of them that's willing to stand out front of the buildings or skip practice and protest for me. Is not enough. So it's really, I made the mistake today by not getting the incident on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like they were against mine. It's just like my thing is I don't have enough people riding with me. That's the
only. But you know what, brother? Your most powerful weapon that you can use is a pen and a pad, and start taking down names, badge numbers, and, you know, dates and times. That's mightier than the camera in your situation right now. And do you have, like, a regulations book on campus, like rules and guidelines and all that?
I can get one, but see, that's the thing. All this paperwork and these new rules they hit us with, we all getting sidetracked with all this. So I can get that, and if they can't give me that, which I'm probably sure they'll come up with some kind of excuse as to, oh, I don't have any more copies, or we already issued that out already. I try to get one, but I'm pretty sure that'd be a struggle too.
Yeah, because that's your right. I mean, that's what you paying for. That's your school. I'm assuming you live in there in dorms. I mean, that's just like your home. They violate, you know, I mean, that's just like if somebody come into my house right now, that's a violation. You know, you got to call the flag on them and start doing what you have to do. And sometimes it's not going to take large numbers. Sometimes it can take just you and a couple of other brothers, you know, that's on the campus, or just you and somebody else, just to spark that light to let them know that you're not going to stand for that and you're not going to tolerate that. Because, you know, in Texas, you know, we Bush country and Perry and all these Pecklewoods, you know, and so it just take one or two of us to spark a flame, and, you know, they'll kind of like, whoa, and kind of back up. So that's what I would start as. I would start as, you know, getting a pen and pad, start filing some of these complaints with some administrators. And like I say, me, I'm real rebellious. I mean, I do want you to get your education, but as long as they address me as boy, they would be a pig, you know, because you are a young man. You're not no Pecklewoods boy.
Yeah. And I feel that, like I said, I go to class, I do my work, I go to practice, all of it. And it's just like, he called me a boy. It's like he got a right to say what he want, and I got a right to say what I want. So if he can get away with
That's
calling
right.
me boy, it shouldn't be no problem with me calling him a Pecklewood or calling him a P. And
That's
like
right.
he was like he when we was leaving early, he was like he was telling all his people like the house. He was like, you hear this. Oh, so now he wants to pull the race car. And I was like, man, you people, it's people like you that's been getting over my people. You know what I'm saying, for several years. And he was like,
that's right.
They started giggling. He
That's
was like,
right.
they started,
yes, sir.
They started giggling. He was like, oh, so you want to play the race card? And the dude behind me was like, yeah, we pulling the race card. And he was just like, all I'm saying is call me a pig again. I say, pig. He was like, you know what? We gonna take you to jail. And he didn't get up or nothing. He was still sitting down in his chair. And they all giggling or whatever. And I asked one of the housing dudes. I was like, so I can't call him a pig. He like shook his head and was like, nah, you really can't do this. And they, my friends just told me, like, they was just like, come on, let's go. I was like, okay, you pigs have a nice day. It was like, you call me that one more time, we taking you to jail. And I just, they pulled me back, and we walked and went on about our business.
Well, brother Kendrick, the thing is this, you can't get mad if you're going to call him a pig. You can't get mad at a pig for being a pig. Can't get mad at a devil for being a devil. But what you can do is you can organize. And so make sure that you get Sister Ayira's number there with you in Texas, and you all organize something on the ground, because we got to go into this segment pulling Brother Donald in right now.
Okay.
And, Brother, you can reach me at 405-294-2283. And when you call me on that number, I'm going to give you another cell number here in Texas to hit me on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 405-294-2283.
All right, cool.
All right,
Lakendra,
keep your head
black.
Keep your head up. As long as they being pigs, that means you know you got something to fight for, and you know who your enemy and your target is.
Right. Oh yeah, it's gonna take a lot to break me, so I ain't even worried about it.
Right on.
All right, brother. Peace and blessings to you, Black Power family.
Black Power.
All right, that's LaKendrick Harmon. He's letting it be known the struggle continues. It's a salute to continue. Those of you that's in Texas with our family, you already know it's execution of country. You can't even get mad. You got to organize. You got to organize, and it's as Old Testament PE says, you got to fight the power. Let me go right into this segment. I'm going right into this segment with no hesitation. Now this brother, as I told you all at the beginning of the show, This brother works and is organizing with the Heritage Connection. He's with the Heritage Connection. He's going to explain to you exactly what that means, but just chiefly saying that you know we need connection to our heritage. Again, as I told you, he's an ally. He was an ally of the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. He is an ally of Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. So you know that makes him an ally of ours and yours. And he also is a true Pan-Africanist. He goes back and forth to our mother country, mother continent. Hopefully he'll talk to us about his travels there and his times there and what he sees, what he thinks about the war going on now. And he also coordinates and works with our brother Mustafa Mbeki, who is a presidential candidate. So I want you all to help me to bring to our radio show, wherever you are, get close to the telephone, get close around to your computer, and help us to bring to our show our brother for the first time on Black Power Radio. This is our brother, Brother Donald, with the Heritage Connection. Black Power, sir.
Black Power, brother. How are you?
Doing good.
And,
how you doing,
family,
Brother Donald?
Family, audience, listening audience out there, it's a blessing to be here with you, brother. I just feel that the time is right. It's our time. We have to take control and seize the time, seize the moment, in terms of globalizing our issues and who we are as a people. And, I mean, Africa right now is prime real estate. The world needs Africa more so than Africa needs the world. All the raw materials, natural resources, all right there in the motherland. And brothers and sisters, listen to audience, I just want to say to you, you do have a homeland. You have a motherland. You know, it's the continent of Africa. You got 52 states, 52 countries, as they refer to here, 53 countries, really, that you can choose from and go back to. To reconnect. Heritage Connection, which the brother mentioned earlier, my organization, primarily came into being to do just what the name suggests, is to connect us with our culture and our heritage that we've lost over 500 or more so years ago. And I say that to say that if we don't begin to reflect on our history, on our beginnings, on our foundation, then what are you standing on? You know, who are you standing with? Clearly, the spirit of the development of this country was not developed with us in mind in any positive way. So I don't care what we do here. It's never going to be good enough. We thought by becoming president of this country that would, in fact, take us to another level, but we see how they treated that. So I say mm-hmm. to the listening audience out there, you have a homeland, you got a motherland, you got to reconnect. You got to reconnect to who you are, that you've been lost from. You're not your total self. You're not 100% yourself, you know. And until you reconnect with the brothers and sisters in the motherland, you're going to forever be wondering, you know. And when we have it all right there, we're the first people, y'all, you know. And so we got to go back to our gift. And they're waiting on us. I mean, we've been blessed with skills, knowledge, and certainly we've learned how to survive in this hostile environment. If nothing else, mm-hmm. our survivor skills that we take back home to the table. And you look at the, you know, the challenges that are faced there, that they're facing with, we use our skills and our technology and knowledge. We don't need no other ethnic groups or cultures to come in here to help Africa maximize its resources. But unfortunately, and I say this, brother, unfortunately, we're still running behind the eight ball because the Chinese are there big time. China has positioned themselves in Africa for the next 50 to 100 years in terms of the deals and the contracts they have cut over the raw materials and natural resources. They beat U.S., they beat all the powers there, all of the other powers there. So what's left for us? You know, I mean, exactly. We have to go back and reclaim. And one way we can do that by developing relationships now with the young brothers and sisters who are coming up and help shape the leadership and the mindset of the future generation to that will be taking over the powers, become the powers that be, if you will. And to that extent, I say that we are pleased to be endorsing the candidacy of Mustapha Mbaki, who we believe is going to be the next president of Senegal. And we're going to do all we can to help make that a reality.
Yes, sir. Talk to us now just a little bit. And I know you mentioned it a little bit in the open up, but what exactly is the Heritage Connection, and how did you get involved with it?
Okay, basically my background is a former educator and principal, high school principal. And one of the things we were doing was making arrangements for our youth to have a culture experience on the continent. And, well, let me just back up a little bit. How I got into it, I was given the assignment to teach African/African-American history. And I felt that in order for me to be qualified to do that, I needed to go to the motherland to have a firsthand experience. I spent the summer, my first summer sabbatical I did in Senegal and the Gambia, and that was a life-changing experience for me, bro. When I returned back to the States, prepared my curriculum, my students got so fired up behind that they wanted to go to the extent that they raised the money to go. You know, that's a very powerful statement for high school students, okay? And then when they did all of that, the Board of Ed said they couldn't go because they was concerned about insurance issues, war and all that. None of those issues came up for kids that want to go to England, kids want to go to Israel, or the whole nine, you know. None of those issues came up. So we decided that we were not going to allow the system to dampen our spirit. The parents decided that they would allow their kids to go the week that they were out of school during Black History Month, which is traditional in the New England area, in the Northeast, where kids are out for a week. So we took the students to Senegal and Gambia during that week, and it was just so profound. It just grew from that experience. They just shared it with their family members. It grew to become a business, brother. I mean, one year we took 150 people over. And because of the parents start wanted to go. They're seeing the impact with the kids. They're sharing it with their family members. And so, you know, it just grew into that time-consuming piece. Then we started doing trade missions. You know, we said, okay, we got the culture thing on. What can we do to begin to get Black entrepreneurs to look at business opportunities on the continent? So we started looking at developing trade missions and seeing the kinds of things that Africa produced that entrepreneurs could use to help market and sell on that end. And we're still fine-tuning that, but there are major opportunities for that. That's what Heritage Connection is, so that's what we do, how we got started.
Is there a website to Heritage Connection?
It's under construction. Once it's completed, I'll make sure you listen to the audience and you get it, brother. Your family get it.
Okay. Appreciate it. Talk to us about your time in Africa. Now, we know that many of our people, unfortunately, have not left the so-called ghettos of America, haven't left outside of the parameters of North America. And so talk to us about the sights and sounds of Africa. Is it everything that they show on the television? Are there little children sitting around with bones in their nose, rib cages showing? You know, talk to us. Break down to us what our mother country is like.
Back and forth and going into the villages and spending time there. I have yet to see any of that, brother, okay? And I've gone to the villages, you know, I've gone in the bush. I've gone to the cities, in urban areas, suburban areas. I have yet to see any of that. Okay. Now, you know, the thing is that they want to continue to keep us in this Tazi mentality about Africa. You know, they want to continue to present Africa in a very negative light. Well, I mean, we don't have to look far. We look into our own communities, the black community of America. When do they show something positive coming out of there? You know, they dwell on the negative.
Right.
And so we just an extension of what happens on the continent and everywhere else. Globally, we all treat it the same. You know, I mean, it's systematic. So when we look at the tube and try to evaluate and get a sense of the information coming from there, is it accurate or not? I'd say we're wasting our time with that. You got to invest. You got to sacrifice and make the time. Everybody owe it to their ancestors to make a pilgrimage back home. You owe it to your ancestors to do that. And then the impact of that will speak for itself.
Mm. You say within once in a lifetime, everybody that's from there got to go back.
Clearly.
From the mother country got to go back. Huh?
Got to go back. You know, and I say this. I mean, you look at other examples, but I say you look at the Jewish community. You see how they take Saturdays and make it a primary day for teaching their kids the culture, and it's mandatory that they go to Israel, have a relationship with Israel, care about Israel, okay. Until we start grooming our youth and grooming our family about Africa, you know, as being that motherland and having the same kind of ingredients, nurturance, you know, we're going to continue to lose out. They want us to, first thing when you talk about Africa, the negative part, they talk about Nigeria, right? They say, oh, you can't trust Nigerians, you can't do this, you can't do that. But why do you think they're going there so much? Nigeria got so much wealth there, the oil, the riches and stuff that are there, because they want to keep it for themselves. I've gone to Nigeria several times, never experienced any of those things they talk about. Not to say they don't happen. I personally have not experienced it, okay?
That's important. That's some important information to put out to us, because I'm going to tell you, as you know, Brother Donald, we're bombarded with the propaganda. And so in doing this work with this Tuba to Johnny Express, we run up against this propaganda, and we run up against these images, these false images of ourselves and this disconnection from our mother country and motherland. So that's why we need to hear from you and those of us who've been there.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, the brothers and sisters on the ground are yearning for us to come home. That's been my experience. That's been my take. And I say that you cannot evaluate or judge from maybe the brothers and sisters from the continent that you've met here because it's a totally different vibe. You know, when they get here, they can be focused on their personal goals of achieving those goals and not letting anything get in the way of that. That's their focus. Now, anything else is secondary. And if it means, you know, bonding and with the diaspora, that becomes secondary for them. Then in most cases, they come with heavy responsibility to feed their families back home. So it's not a lot of room for the camaraderie, if you will, in the intense of this environment versus the Africans at home not dealing with that intensity, okay? Just dealing with things naturally as they are, They have a totally different vibe towards us, man. I'm telling you, they're Uranus. They look for us to come and take advantage of the opportunities that exist there versus any other ethnic group or culture that's there.
And you know, brother.
Go ahead, sis.
Oh, and you know, brother Donna, peace. I'm Sister Ayira. I've just been listening to you on the line, brother. And, you know, it's funny because I'm going to Guyana in January, me and a couple of more comrades of mine. And the thing about it, I have people because, you know, we're looking at repatriation and different things. We're actually flying to the Republic of Benin when we get there. And, you know, you have people all the time, Americanized Negroes, you know, they always say, well, why you want to go there? Do they have paved roads? I'm like, you know, they have malls. They have, you know, cities. I mean, it looks like a city. You know, like I tell people, but, you know, they're so busy going by what white America is teaching them that they don't even want to try to connect, you know, with your home, you know, in the motherland. And I found it funny that when you get over there, you know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if you go over there acting a certain way and trying to be better than the people, I was told they'll call you O'Bruni. O'Bruni?
Yeah, that's one of the terms they use. That's correct, sister. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Tubab,
yeah.
You know? That's
yeah.
Depending on what country you're in, at or Tubab, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm glad you're clearing that up, brother, because it's a lot of Africans here that have a certain misconception, and it was a few Africans, actually. They always get on me when I call them African. I'm always referring to myself as African. They're like, no, sister, you know, you African-American. No, I'm African. There's something European attached to that. It's like they want to be so far detached away from where they came from that their mind is just somewhere else.
Right. That's true. I mean, this man has been very consistent on the tactics and strategies he's used to keep us at bay, you know? And I'm glad to see we're wising up that younger people like yourselves are coming on and realizing that there's more to life than what America presents it to be. And until we begin to think and act globally, you know, we're going to still be in this little cocoon thinking America is the power that, and it's really falling, really.
And Brother Donald, when I saw the housing opportunities over there, it's phenomenal. I feel like, you know, I'm just getting ripped off here in the States. I mean, the opportunities over there are just, man, it feel like when you even think about it, when I be looking at what I'm trying to do, when you just think about it, it just feel like you're just flushing money down the toilet.
I'm glad you mentioned that about opportunities, sister, because opportunities can start with as low as $1,000, okay?
Exactly.
And be multiplied into 10,000. It's just those kinds of opportunities exist there. You don't need a lot of money. You know, you need some money, but not a lot of money. And because the opportunity, they need everything. So you see opportunities from the point of hitting the ground. Isn't that right, sister?
Yes, right.
Yeah,
I'm
just saying that you owe it to yourself to think outside the box and challenge yourselves, you know, to reconnect with yourself. Understand, if you take a moment and reflect, and even if you got to meditate, and just realize that there's a part of you is missing. It's been missing for a long time. But that you can reconnect with it on the motherland. And once you make that pilgrimage, you feel whole. You feel 100%. You know, I guarantee you, you're going to feel whole. You're going to feel 100% that you've reconnected to something you've been lost from. And that within itself, I mean, there are no words to express.
Yes, sir. Brother Donald, can you talk to us about the situation going on now in Africa with the bombings from NATO and the overt plan now to usurp the land from African leaderships and those that are in charge and anti-imperialistic? Can you give us your thoughts now on the war and what's happening in Libya and Tunisia and these other areas in our mother continent?
Well, you know, I just feel that they're carrying out their plan. And unfortunately, it pains me to see that the AU, which is the new body of formerly of the OAU, that governs global the continental policies with the heads of states coming together, and that entity is being marginalized, if you will, by the West, NATO, and everybody else. That's supposed to have been the power force to really make final decisions for Africa, you know, the AU, African Unity. But and, you know, Gaddafi was the immediate past president of that body. Now, how could that, what's happening to Libya and him, to a man who was the past, immediate past president of the powerful body like that, he's not getting the support. And this man did more to help African countries than anybody, any other single person ever on the continent, okay? But in terms of NATO, in terms of the West, the European powers, you know, they see an opportunity for recolonization, okay? And they
right.
see that with the land, the resources, everybody, they're scrambling for African resources. Gaddafi said they want his oil, you know? And that's what it is. So they put a puppet regime in.
And that's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
In the history, this has been the pattern.
That's exactly what it is. Quickly, Brother Donald, because we're running out of time with the segment here. But quickly, can you talk to us about your connection to Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad? How you all met?
Yes, brother. I would give all praises due to that brother. I had the pleasure of being a comrade with the brother. We were in Senegal together for the summit, African/African-American summit that the Sullivan Group put on annually. Brother Khaled Muhammad and I were there together. And in that summit, there was a major issue going on around the youth that was present at the summit that, and I need to share this because this is to show you the spirit of this brother. The youth had not been fed, or they had not made preparations to feed the youth during the summit. And Brother Khaled and led a group of leaders together. He became aware of it and went to the main ballroom where the host president, Senegal at the time was there, and Reverend Sullivan and several of the other host players, and challenged them, said, how are you all going to sit in here and eat? You know, you got the slave master mentality, and challenged them, brothers, to feed those people. And of course, he got some brothers that stood up from that was representing corporate America, had those platinum credit cards, and told the brothers, go ahead on and pay for the meals for the rest of the conference. I think the people put out about $30,000 extra that they spend to feed the youth for the remaining of the conference. And the youth ate big time, ate like they wanted to. You know, it was platinum, and it was like this. So that's Brother Khaled forced their hand on that. I mean, they were so embarrassed they went overboard. And that's one of my personal experiences, one of many personal experiences I've had with him. But, yes, the brother, he did a very good job in preparing our current leader and mentoring him, Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz. He's taking the mantle.
Right.
But, I mean, obviously the brother, Brother Muhammad is missed, will continue to be missed. And he just had a special spirit. His spirit of challenging was original and authentic. I haven't seen anything like it since, after, or before. Really. The example that I gave you was the spirit of this brother. And many of you who have been a part of him, have been around him, you know it to be true. And, I mean, his works, and he was the modern-day Nat Turner, in my opinion. And the strategies that he used of going about it. And putting fear in these people was just, I live in New York City, and I notice every year we have all the stores that close down on 125th Street. Some of them resisted. Brother Khaled came there, and then they closed right up, you know. So we had that, he had that kind of motivating Eastwood, and today that project still lives today. The brothers and sisters still carry it on, you know, to recognizing the memorial of Malcolm on the day of his death. that's one of the days they use to close down these stores, and it's, of course, his birthday.
Right on, right on.
So, but I want to say currently where we, the project that's on hand with the Senegalese Murray Tijani clothing drive, brothers and sisters, to the listening audience out there, that we need your support. And any items that you are not wearing, but are good items, you know, you want to give somebody something that you would wear yourself, but you are no longer wearing it, and you'd like to give it away, primarily summer items. They don't really have winter in Senegal. A sweater is the heaviest piece that they would probably need. I've never seen a coat, okay?
Right, right.
You know, children clothing, women clothing, mostly what's needed, and, of course, the men clothing, too. But children and women is what we're focusing on, and men clothing, if you would want to bring those also. And this is the drive that the new Black Panther Party has taken the lead on and incorporated organizations like Herges Connection, myself, and Dr. Jeffries and other partners to assist in making this a success. So I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to join you and the listening audience and share the information about what we do as Herges Connection and keep the spirit of Black Power.
Black Power. Brother Donald, listen, we appreciate you and want you to know that you are always welcome on Black Power Radio. You are always welcome here for anything that the Herges Connection has going on, anything upcoming you got, any events. Anytime that you want to drop us a line or come on in, you got my number. You come on in, brother.
Okay, brother, I appreciate that, and I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity. Thank you.
All right, peace.
Yeah.
Black Power to you.
Black Power, brother.
Dear family, give it up for him. Give it up for him. Give it up for him. That's our brother, Brother Donald. Herges Connection. I told you it was going to be hot. I told you it was going to be fire. Told you. You got a tidbit of history. Man, we didn't even know. This is the type of stuff that you get when you come to Black Power Radio. And so, Sister Aire, are you still with us?
Oh, yeah. I'm still. I was writing down some stuff that Brother Donald said. I mean, because he went in. He really went in. He laid the foundation down. I really like that.
He didn't waste any time
exactly.
At all. And so at this part of the segment, we're scheduled to bring in our brother Imam Bilal Sabir, and he had to get off and go to a conference call, but he'll be coming back. He hopefully God willing to be joining us back. But of course, as I told you in the beginning, in either next to or in front of every black man is that mighty black woman, and so you're not slighted at all. You got the equal partner coming up, that partner who has been organizing, who is on the front lines, who stays active, who pushes, who keeps her voice out. We got our comrade on with us. She's new to some of you all. She's an old comrade for us and our family, but she's new to some of you all, so I'm going to have her introduce herself to you. This is his wife. This is Sister and Lady Fatima. You with us, Sister? Peace and blessings. Black Power.
Peace.
Peace,
Salam alaikum,
and
with you, family. Black Power.
Black Power. What's happening, Fatima? I pumped you up. What's going on, sis?
Well, I'm here, and I'm listening to you guys, and I want to greet your guest and the lady that's on the line with you.
Sister Aire, you know, sis, I tried to contact you about a couple of days ago, and I tried to contact you a couple of days ago, and I think you were on your blog talk.
Yes.
Your husband
I'm the host of the Corner Truth.
Yes.
Well,
right, so.
I am the host of the Corner Truth, and I'm also Prime Minister to the new United Republic, and we are the African Americans Back to Africa movement. And what we are trying to do is to get our, exactly what you guys are trying to do, to awaken our people to our true history, our true heritage, and then to look at repatriating back to your ancestral homeland. We do have a website, and it's www.thenewunitedrepublic.com. And that website gives you detailed information on who we are, what we believe, and it also gives you on our flag and land page the land that we are seeking to get from. There are four actual countries, Senegal, Guinea, Guinea-Bissau, and Mali, that we are requesting the land. We did back in 2000 when we came back from Senegal. We also lived in Senegal and the Gambia. We put forth a case asking for land. Now, the government, they dismissed the case, but they dismissed it without prejudice. And what that means is that we would be able to bring this case back up to the courts to petition for this particular land. The only thing that was missing was the list of people that wanted to repatriate. So we talk about the Emancipation Proclamation, and that was something that Lincoln had put forth, what they call recolonizing. I would prefer it to be repatriating. The Africans that were enslaved in this country and those that were subsequently free to be able to return back to their ancestral homeland. So I hear what everybody is saying, how our brothers and sisters are asking for us to come back, and it is indeed true. What I wanted to bring to light was for the women. I could not have made it in Senegal or the Gambia without the women in Africa. And when I tell you they just adopted me, put their arms around me, made sure that I could speak a language, that I could shop, and that I was just welcome. And I heard welcome home so many times. I mean, Senegal is my home away from home. One thing that it's out there, of course, I think the brother who just got off spoke about, is the difference between our brothers and sisters in Africa on the continent and the ones that come here and are faced with, I think, it's a thing of, you know, they've already put, I guess, this is how the blacks in America are. So there's a certain prejudice that is put out there about us, and we're such a great nation. I always remind people that for anybody of color, you would not be able to do anything here in this country had it not been for us. So I want to make sure that people don't forget how great we are. But there's a prejudice everybody knows about us. So it's not just the Africans that might come over here and adopt the prejudice or maybe want to step away from the group that's being attacked, but it's also the other foreigners that come over here that this thing is put out about us, and they, I wouldn't say they accept it, but they're just not sure. I can assure you that if we were to return, and we speak to people in Senegal already. My husband now is working extensively with two brothers in Senegal and Nigeria in regards to our repatriation and them actually telling people there about us coming home, that they welcome us with open arms. They welcome us with open arms.
So what you're saying, Lady Fatima, you're saying that a lot of our people here are unsure about going back. Mm-hmm. We have some kind of fear, is what you're saying?
Yeah, there's probably a fear because it's been put out there about who, you know, or what Africa is supposed to be about, you know, where everything is supposed to be backwards and this isn't there and that isn't there. And we are a different people and because of the experience that we had here. And we are very comfortable, I would say, with the cozy comforts that we have here in America, that we probably feel it would be extremely hard work to go back to Africa and build. Everybody has this thing of Africa, the jungle, Africa, animals, wild animals, Africa, and all the unknowns, that it does play a trick on your mind. But you can't make it anywhere, including here, without the native people. So the native people in Senegal and the Gambia, but the women, they help me. I mean, you can't, and it would be the same way. I heard somebody say that they're talking about going to Benin, and I did a show with Princess Adenasi, and Benin is actually right now offering African Americans land, and I encourage people to go to the archive to listen to that show, because she would be someone that you would want to be in contact with when you get over there in Benin. And you can also Facebook her, befriend her, because she helps with the transition of buying the land, or not necessarily even buying the land. They're actually giving you partials of land and getting you acclimated to returning home. So I would encourage that. But, yes, there's a fear on both ends. You know, there's a fear of us to go back and what we don't know, the unknown. And there's also a fear for our brothers and sisters that come over here and they've listened to the news or whatever about us, and they want to know, you know, how come y'all shoot and kill one another? You know, y'all supposed to be all one big tribe. They don't understand that unless there's a tribal war. You know, somebody that's wall off is not just going to up and come to somebody else's wall off and just start fighting them and all. So they don't understand that. They understand things on a tribal basis, and they probably look at us as one big tribe.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's a big thing, Sister Fatima, because that's a part of the propaganda that's used against us, not only here but even there, that they say that we're all in a genocide and fratricide, and they never talk about the harmony that's there in Africa, and hell, and even before then, they never talk about what causes the tribal wars. Can you talk about what causes the tribal wars in Africa?
Sure. Tribalism is just that simple. It is what killed us in the beginning, and that would be that, you know, somebody is wall off, the other person's Fulani. It's very similar, unfortunately, to racism. But I'd say tribalism has been detrimental to us because of the enslavement, you know, with them being able to, the white men to be able to come over into Africa and wait on the outer parts of the shores while our brothers and sisters gather up the people and bring them for the enslavement. Rwanda and all of that went on, all of that has to do with tribalism, not looking at one another as family. They look at one another as tribes, and unfortunately that can, you know, and does really hurt Africa.
Lady Fatima, don't you hold back on this Black Power Radio. You tell the people who made us into tribes. How did we start into that tribalism?
Well, I mean, Allah, it says in the Quran, you know, Allah made us tribes so that we can get to know one another. You know, unfortunately, and that, you know, even with the Caucasian, they came as tribes. But somehow or another, they managed to say, look, they brought it to color. Well, we might be all of different tribes. You speak Portuguese, you speak French, you speak Spanish, you speak English. But they looked and said, we're all white, so let's get together and subjugate all these black people. Our men haven't looked at one another in all honesty and said, yeah, we might be of all different tribes, but we all black. And so, therefore, with that would come unification. We still deal, unfortunately, with the way people look, the color, the features. And like the guy said, the brother that got off, he said, you know, they'll call you a Tubab. Well, a Tubab means a white person, right? So, yes, I mean, when I went over there and they looked at me, you know, one little boy called me a Tubab. And I'm like, what, are you crazy? You know, so, you know, I need you. I couldn't speak Wolof really good then, but, you know, I had a friend over there that could. You need to educate little brother. But that, again, you know, is some of our problem. Now, let me bring you to Gambia. When we were in Gambia, they had a coup, right? And the coup was when Jammeh, who is still in power now, came into office. So seeing this, we arrived 1 week after the coup. Jammeh, everybody, you know, the president, they riding around, the military riding around, everybody celebrating. That unfortunately, well, fortunately, it was a good time. Let me just say that, because the president before had been in office like 40-something years, right? So Jammeh mm-hmm. comes in, and there's hope for the Gambia. And everybody's excited that there is a new president that, you know, and Gambia is going to move further. Well, okay, now 10 years later, Jammeh is still in office. He has no intentions of giving up office. So these are the type of things, leaders for life, these are the type of things that hurt Africa. You know, you have a brother now that you guys are working with that hopes to be president of Senegal, but he's up against Wadi. And perhaps, you know, Wadi right now is really talking about just passing the leadership on over to his son. So if that happens, it's going to cause a huge rift in Senegal, because Senegal was one of the most stablest West African countries, and they used to have elections with no problem. But now this man is in office, and it's a possibility he might not want to have elections again. So those are the type of things that you can run into when you're in Africa that can unfortunately hold the progress of Africa back. But it's a thing that I think we need to, and this is one of the reasons why we need to go back. They need to see a reliable, well-ran African government. That means if we're given that land that's outlined in red, and you're in Guinea and you need to cut through in order to get to Senegal to do business, if we were to build up like I know we can do, and they were to see something like that, that within itself is motivation. We're the motivating factor, I think, for everybody, that being the islands and Black Africa. And if we don't pull it together and pull ourselves up and think about repatriating and building a nation of our own, what example really do they have?
Exactly right. Exactly right. No guidance, no way to look forward to the future, nothing.
No,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, and then, you know, you have our brothers and sisters that come here, and this is America, so they lose a lot of their culture. You know, a lot of things that they do here, they know they couldn't do back at home.
Yeah, that's
so you risk that. You risk that of losing, again, who you are with our brothers and sisters having to leave their home and come here to America.
Sister Fatima, can you talk about the respect of the woman in Africa? This is something that's not often talked about, but it's often propagandized on U.S. media and Western media. Can you talk about the respect and the culture of respect for our women in Africa?
Well, you break it down north, south, east, and west. I don't know too much about the north because that's more of a I guess the people there kind of look more Caucasian, so I haven't gone that way. In Senegal and Gambia, I can only speak about the women are respected. Let me just say that first. But we have a long way to go on equality. Again, I think they need to see the example of us where the women are working, the women get educations, you know, that their living condition is uplifted, you know. A lot, they were kind of surprised with me being in West Africa because, you know, Imam Bilal would be the one that wouldn't mind going to the market and getting everything. Well, that's a woman's job in Africa. And, you know, they would ask him, why not Fatima? Fatima should go, you know. And I'm like, I'm not going to the market because I don't feel like it. So
right.
With that in mind, you know, we have a lot of privileges here. And they have a lot to work on. My sisters should not be going to the well carrying water on their head. They should have pipes where the water runs from here right into the house. You know, but that's something that, again, if we were over there, we could bring the technology there. It would be so helpful. But yes, I mean, yes, the African women, I always say when I go back home, I have a huge job when it comes to uplifting the African woman and making the conditions for her and her life a lot better. And here, you know, our condition needs to be uplifted in America. You know, we need to be told that, you know, it's one thing to be told that you're a queen. It's another thing to do everything for that queen to make sure that, you know, she is set. And so here, we're not set, you know, and we cry every day when we lose our children, you know, to gun violence and things like that. And so our men are in prison. So on both fronts, here in America, the African woman needs to be uplifted, and, of course, in West Africa, South Africa, and East Africa.
Talk to us finally, sister, about the greatness of Africa. Why is it, as we're pushing for this Tuba to Johnny Express, why is it that our people should know about our greatness and our connection to Africa?
Well, right now, like the brother had said earlier about the resources, I did a show on Meet and Greet, Meet the Millionaires and Billionaires of Africa. Right now, the Europeans, there's a European conglomerate that has gotten together and bought up enough land in Africa that is the size of France. You hear me?
We can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
The size of France. They have already looked, and they know what they can do with that land. They're not concerned about how are they going to build. They know that they have the machines that can get rid of plenty of trees and whatever, in order for them to build hospitals or whatever it is that they're going to build. Africa is so rich in resources that I don't even think that we can even measure it. Unfortunately, if there's not any building going on within West Africa, East Africa, or South Africa, you're not going to know about the oils that are underneath. You're not going to know about the other resources that are underneath the ground. So, I mean, a major building project needs to start. And I think that it should start with us. But we have a lot of differences here in America. And so America, you know, you have the freedom to do whatever. Well, one thing with all of that freedom is that it's hurt the African-American in coming together as one homogeneous family. So now that we have all these different organizations, the different religious groups, the different this, the different that, it's very hard for us to see us coming together and being able to organize. But my only thing would be is to get that land and to then start from there, to leave about of America. You know, I would still be the same if I stayed here. But I left my comfort zone. I went over there, and I did everything that I needed to do in order to survive and found myself depending on my brothers and sisters in order to do that. So it would push us to a unity that right now nobody can even imagine or see. And so the beauty of that, the beauty is to simply go back home, and the resources are there. It's just all about building.
Yes, ma'am. And so finally, what should we do? How can we help your movement and what you have going on? How can we stand with you in the new republic? How can we help to organize and go back to Africa? Talk to us on the final points and bring it together, Sister Fatima.
Okay. Well, one thing that we can do is, of course, like I said, go to our website and sign up. I mean, that's what the government is waiting on. They need to know who wants to go in order for us to even be able to look at any type of treaties that we can sign, any type of building. I mean, before you can do anything, you have to sign up. The next thing that we have to do is when it comes to nation building, I think that you have to put forth, you have to look at this judicial system over here. Do you want to take it or not? I would encourage us not to take it. I would encourage us to look more scripturally at the law of Musa or Moses, which is the Torah. I think that once we come together collectively, we signed up, then that there comes to play, I think, a whole host of people who do different jobs, your surveyors, your construction workers, your farmers, those that are in agriculture, maintenance, and the list goes on. We have double the rate of everybody here in this nation of unemployment. So that says there's a whole lot of people who are skilled workers that are unemployed. So in order for us to come together, you sign up, you put down what your expertise is, where you have to get together and start committees, and then I don't know how many people would move over there, but you have to move in waves. And you know what I mean by moving in waves. We can't all move at one time. So it comes to the land has already been mapped out. You have to have those four countries to say that we will give you the land. Then, of course, and this is one thing about America, we don't really need them, okay? But it would be to their best interest to invest in us again. They invested in our ancestors by bringing them over here. Now they can invest in the descendants. But if they chose not to, we don't need them. It's not a need thing. And then you have to put forth your leaders. We're going to need a president. We're going to need a vice president. You know, your leader, Brother Malik, who can bring everybody together. I mean, so it is just doing, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can look at what the white man did when he came over here and put forth his government, extract the good, leave out the bad. So, I mean, there are governments out there that you're going to have to study. And it takes men and women to get together, come to the round table. And the biggest thing is where would you go? So if you already got the land already outlined, now it's who's going to go.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Sister Fatima, we thank you so, so much for everything that you shared with us. Anything that you want to say last minute closing?
No, I just wish us the best and to be successful in all that we do and to, you know, shows like this, nation building, to keep that in the forefront, to support the new Black Panther Party, Chairman Malik, support this T. Johnny Moore humanitarian effort. And do something like Brother Malik was putting out there. We don't need to fight with one another. We need to come together and be, I think, strong on both fronts. Some 40-plus million African-Americans are not going to just get up and all go to Africa. We know that. But you have to support the ones that want to repatriate so that you can be strong on both fronts. In Africa and here, the same as the Jewish people have done with them having Israel, and of course you have the Jewish population here in America. So the most important thing, I think, is to support one another and to push forward, not to always think about the past and everything that's happened to us in the past, but to try to move forward. We know that we were enslaved. We know that we're over here with some of the white people aren't good, and some of them are. I mean, let's give props to the ones that are good and aren't down with the ones that are bad. But we have to move forward. I can't keep thinking about how this white man enslaved my ancestors and how I can't because of him. I just got to push forward because I can.
Got to build.
And we need more can. Yeah, we need more cans and less blaming the white man because he's a man just like you a man. You know what I'm saying? And so, therefore, we can't depend on him. We have to depend on ourselves.
That's right. Can you give out the contact one more time for those that didn't get it? Some listeners said they didn't get your contact, the information to contact you all and go and help.
Sure, and I'll put it in the chat, but it's www.thenewunitedrepublic.com. This is a blessed movement. And, you know, all I can say is that I think it's spiritual in that we were shown this land. And I just believe that that's ours already. And, you know, according to the Bible, it says you'll be here for 400 years. After that 400 years, I will judge and they shall come out. So I believe that's us. And it's really just gathering up the people to go. It's just that simple. And let fear not enter your heart.
Yes, ma'am. I hear so. Talk black.
I was actually getting ready to tell Lady Fatima that, you know, I called you once. You're gonna probably have to beat me off the phone now when I call you. I'm gonna probably call you every day.
Well, I would love that. And brother Sean, did you give her my telephone number, my cell?
Chairman Malik had texted to me, and that's how I got in contact with you a couple of days ago. And like I said, you were on your radio show. You are very busy, sis. So I'm going to just blow your phone up.
I started school, you guys. Y'all wish me luck here. I got a year and a half to get my master's for forensic psychology. And so that's another topic within that on the system here. And I'm just going to say the system and how it's been set up for us through the police, mm-hmm. through correctional. I'm studying all of it. I got to study case law, so I'll be calling Brother Malik because I'm going to need his help. that's something, too, to see how their system has been set up both civilly and within the criminal justice system. So we're going to have to talk about that.
I think everybody
needs to be educated. It really is deep. I think we need to know. So I'm learning, and I'm going to definitely share that information.
That's peace. You have truly been wonderful. Just listening to a breath of fresh air, to be honest with you. You really have. Thank you.
Well, you know, our sisters, especially here, it's amazing what we will be able to do when we get back home. That's all I can say. And we don't know the beauty of Africa until we return. I think of it as a chain that has been broke. And so we are the missing link. And mm-hmm. I'm not being arrogant. I'm really not. So please, y'all, don't take it this way. But Africa is not going to change, and it's not going to grow until we go back home. Mm-hmm. We are the missing link. And without us, I'm sorry, you're going to see both in the islands and in Africa that the black man is going to continue to struggle. And why is it that the Almighty has put that pressure on you, black man in America, to uplift everybody? Well, because of what has happened to us, and we're a new people now, and we've come through, I would say, you know, something that nobody else could come through. Everybody runs to America for jobs and stuff. Where have we had to run? Where have we had to run? We can't run. So we've had to make sure that things, I mean, it might be kind of bad right now, but we still have had to make sure that there's a place for us here in America until we have a place to go. So you got a great responsibility. I believe that we've been chosen. And, again, I say let fear not enter your heart. Sign up for us to go. And, again, you know, we need a president.
I think she's throwing the chairman a hint. He's listening too. So
we need a president. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yep.
And you know, and that's something else too, because that with the mama, his duty is spiritual. It is to put us on the right path spiritually. But you know, he's not looking to just take over everything and be the leader of everything. He just wants to make sure that spiritually we have the correct understanding of the Torah and of the Quran. And other than that, you know, we need some people to sign up who feel like they would really be able to meet America face to face and deal with them on an equal footing.
That's right and exact. That's right and exact. So you're doing a great job. Go ahead.
Sis, again, what's the name of your group? I didn't get that. I got your phone number because I want to put it on our Pan-African website.
Okay. It's I'm going to put it to, like I said in the chat, but it's the New United Republic. And so if you break that down, what it says is Noor, the light.
Okay.
So I'm going to put it in the chat right now. I just came back. United Republic.
Right.
Okay. And I put it in there. So everybody will be able, you know, those that are still in the chat will be able to just pull it up. And like I said, just sign up. What better way than to tell America anything other than if given the opportunity to build our own nation, we would. And we don't need you. But if you want to help us, if you want to help us, okay. But I think that that is, you know, and I'm not going to stay on here long, but if you're in a bad relationship, right, and think of it like this, and you're being abused all the time, once you get ready to leave out of that bad relationship, the person, the abuser, is always the first one to go, why you want to leave? I'm sorry. I won't do it anymore. Well, you know, this is what we need to tell America. You've abused us long enough. We're not going to continue to deal with this bad relationship, and now we want to go. And you see, and I believe that you will also see, even amongst the racist Caucasian, you will see a different attitude, because I guarantee you nobody ever thought one day we would really be talking about leaving here.
That's right.
Yeah, the whole economy is collapsing just with us here present. You understand what I'm saying? Just with us here present, the economy is collapsing, and our people, truth be told, are the driving force behind most of the major industries in America. So can you imagine a mass migration? They lose their minds. They've already lost their minds.
They're gonna lose their mind, but they won't fall economically now. It might shake them up, but they're not going to fall economically.
Well, they are already falling.
Well, that's true. They are already falling.
I can't let you get away with that one. They are already falling.
Well, they're already falling, but we're here. What I'm saying is they might look at us as being the catalyst to help them economically, because once we leave, you're talking about new business. You're talking about business that into things that they have not even had the opportunity to tap into. So we're more of an investment and a good investment for America, rather than if we chose to separate, that this country would fall. It's not going to. It's not set up like that. I don't believe
that. We need you. We need you. You're a great balance. You're a great great balance. And I'm saying to America and the power structure to listening, those that are listening, I'm saying this, you best take Lady Fatima up on the offer, because you know what's on the other side of the coin. You know what's on the other side of the coin. I'm just saying. So it's the same scenario as Malcolm and Martin. You know how Malcolm used to say, you best listen to Martin. You know what I mean? You best listen, because you know what's on the other side of that coin. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, it's the same thing. You know what our program is, Sister Fatima. You know what it is. We talking about freedom of death. You know, freedom of death, independence. You know, a land of our own, black laws for all black people. And so I like your approach. You saying, look, if you don't take heed of what we're saying, you got to deal with them black nationalists over there.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's like this. It's either do us right or else. I mean, you can't do it any other way. But I say they see the investment. Don't think they don't. They see the investment, because they could have dismissed our case, just dismissed it like they did some of the reparation cases, where the people can't even bring the cases back. You see what I'm saying? But they did not dismiss our case, stating that we can never bring it back. They just said, you're missing, like, you and the Imam cannot sue us for all of the African Americans here in America. What you guys have to do is get a list of those and then bring this back, saying that this particular group of people would like to leave and this is the land that you want. So think about that too.
So they wanted you to get 30 million people that want to leave? I'm kind of...
No, there's no number on it, because look at Belize. Belize is a country of 250,000. And, I mean, that's like the dream vacation place right now, to go to Belize in Central America.
Right.
So it's not necessarily about this huge number that has to leave. It's not about that. It's just who wants to leave. And, of course, we have to continue to get the word out, continue to advertise and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
but
the black citizen says to talk to his lawyer. If he could give me that information to contact his attorney, that would be good.
We got some sidebar negotiation happening, and that's cool. That's all right. Definitely, this is gonna have to be picked up, because I know that it's a complex situation. It's a complex thing, and what you're doing, Lady Fatima, is phenomenal. We appreciate what you're doing, and we appreciate the way that you're moving and organizing, and we definitely want to continue to build with you, especially with this tuba to Johnny Express. We we're sending 3 tons of goods to Africa. We definitely got to continue to work together.
Yes. I'm definitely on board with that. And the Imama, I apologize about that, but you know, you have a conference call, and so like I said, he's trying to reach the brother in that he's working with in Senegal. But we still have our friends and stuff there. So he will come on. You'll have to get in contact with me and let me know, you know, when he you'll have him back on, but he definitely wanted to make sure that, you know, I represented. So he's like, get on there.
He did a great job. I waited, and he did wait.
I mean, he came online, but he was like, I got to go. You get on there and represent. So I'm representing for the New United Republic.
you did a great job. I told the listeners, I said, we don't like to say that behind every black man's a great black woman. We say beside or in front of that great black man is that great black woman. So you did an excellent job.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, sis. Peace to you. Black power.
All right.
Peace,
and
queen.
Black power to you, too. All right. Same to you, my sister. Assalamu alaikum. And I'm gonna get off, but I'm still in the, you know, chat. I'm still listening, okay?
All right. We still chatting. We with you. Peace,
all right. Man. Peace.
Peace. And that's Lady Fatima. I told you all. You didn't listen. A year they didn't listen.
I tried to tell them too.
They thought they were going to miss out. But we do. We want to get the Imam of Bilal Sabir back on the line when we can. Well, he's got to handle his business. He got to do what he got to do. His man's making international moves. How are you going to get mad at that? He's doing what he got to do. But we're going to make whatever provisions we got to make to get him back on. Let me get some of these calls in here. You all have been holding patiently. You all have been waiting patiently, and we appreciate you. Trust me. You know we're handling business. Let me try to pull as many of you in here as I can with these final moments here. Let me go to 504-432. You're on the air with Black Power Radio, the raging war in Africa. Talk to us. You're in the conversation, Black Power.
Black Power. I don't know too much about Africa, but I'm going to just say this. Do you believe the stuff that's going on in Africa, do you think, even though we know who's behind it, but do you think, like, the people they put puppets in there where they can control them? Like, I'm not going to say Idi Amin, but I'm going to say about, like, Mobutu or one of them. They didn't have the interests of the people. They just got in there for power for themselves. Do you believe that, yes or no?
You asking me or Aira?
Either one of y'all can answer. Either one.
Well, I mean, go ahead, Ayer. I can answer, but I want to hear. I can't answer it. But I say it like this. I go ahead and just make it plain that hell yeah, absolutely. We know that there's puppet leaders and puppet rulers in Africa. As they say, everybody that say Lord, Lord ain't going to heaven. And we know, I mean, just as in the case of what you saw, this is just a light example, but just as in the case of what you saw with Hosni Mubarak there in Kemet, now that with the Greeks called Egypt, what was called Egypt, He was a U.S.-backed interest that was set up there on the mother continent. And ultimately, what you saw in the beginning, I ain't talking about this old CIA-inspired resistance that be going on now, but in the beginning, you saw the people who were upset and dissatisfied with the living conditions of their parents and their people and the way that the things were going on. And they took to the streets. They took to the square. They said they were going to have what was called a million-man march in Egypt. You know what I mean? And that's what you saw. And so, absolutely, brother, we know from the teachings of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, our new Black Panther program, that, you know, that there are those who stand in Africa sometimes who don't have African interests at heart. I mean, the Black Power Generalness. This is going to make some of you all mad, but it is what it is. The Black Power General said that Nelson Mandela wasn't a revolutionary. He gave praise to Sister Winnie Mandela, and he said that Nelson Mandela is not a revolutionary. And he didn't back up and apologize for it. And he said that no man goes to the penitentiary or prison for all them years, and then when they come out of the penitentiary and the prison, then they elected the president unless there was a plan and a scheme behind the scenes. And so, yeah, we make it plain that just because, you know, they're in rulership, just because they have black skin like us, that doesn't necessarily mean that their program, their policy, their position represents us in Africa or our people. And so we watch very carefully, brother, those that's up in leadership and those that rule.
Okay, yeah. But
I have to go with Brother Sean on that.
Yeah, I also want to see this, too, about what do you think about what's going on in Africa with the Duf Dafoe and Dufoe with the slave trade, with the Arabs involved in the slaves in the slave trade over there?
I think my take on that with the Arab slave trade, I mean, again, that's something that we know that's, you know, a part of the history. Many of them have owned up, you know, to that part of the history. And I think right now the white media is using it really as a divisional propaganda tool. I'm going to say about that, say on that subject. I think it's been beaten the ground and ran in the ground.
Yeah, we made a strong stance. A lot of people they misunderstand the new Black Panther Party, and they think that we stay so hard on the Caucasian white man that we give the dirty desert Arabs, imperialist Arabs, a pass. We don't give them no pass. If you read our 10-point program, it tells you that we're clearly against imperialism. Clearly, it doesn't give you a ethnicity or any of that. We're against imperialism, we're against colonialism, neocolonialism, and artificial borders in all of its forms. So my point saying this is, brother, that yeah, hell yeah, you hear us talk plenty of times about the dirty desert Arabs' hand in our African slave trade, and those that continue to push that brand of imperialism today. We talk about those who come to our communities, set up liquor stores in our communities, sell our people pork, and as it was said tonight on the radio, knowing that if they went back in their country and were setting up stores and selling our people pork, whiskey, and cigarettes and beer and wine, that they would have their heads cut off. And that's the law of their land. But they come over here specifically to the black community and sell our people that which they don't, most of them don't partake in themselves in terms of pork and whatnot, and specifically that which kills us as a community. So we against that, brother. We against them, and I can't say on air what some have done to
exactly.
make sure that doesn't happen. But I'm just saying that yeah, we against imperialism in all its forms, brother.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, all right, my brother, Black Power, I mean, y'all doing a good job and everything, and I support you all.
Thank you, brother, and thank you for being a faithful listener. I know you've been listening strong here for a while now, brother, so we look forward to linking up with you, man. I promise you that me and you was going to talk off of the air, so we're going to talk off of the air.
I'd like for y'all to come down to New Orleans. I'd like for y'all to come down to New Orleans.
You got to bring it in.
You know, I got family in New Orleans off of
Okay.
Yeah, I got family there. I'm right here in Texas.
Okay. Oh, is this Sister Crystal?
No, this is not Crystal. This is Aira.
Okay.
Crystal is in
okay.
Houston. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, all right, it's Black Power, and
I'll
let the other listeners get on the air.
Okay, thank you so much, Brother Black Power, and peace to you, sir.
Black Power.
For all you who are listening, if you're not yet called in, the number is 646-478-4447. You got about a minute to call in, or you'll be disconnected from the live stream. But those of you that are on the line, we're going to get your calls in. Go ahead, sis. You got something to say?
Hey, yes, I do. You know, I'm always on our 2x2 Johnny kick, and we just want to report in that Akon, he has totally committed to helping us on the Tuba Freight Express, and, you know, being that he is from Senegal. So the rapper Akon is all the way backing us on this project. And his camp has confirmed it that he will be, you know, helping us on this project, the 2x2 Johnny. So to me, that's great news.
It's big. That's big. You know, we give respect to Akon. We give respect to Akon, who came out and told y'all he was locked up and they won't let him out. We give some respect to Akon, man, who is standing up. Him and Convict Music standing up. And rolling with their family, the new Black Panther Party, the Day of Action Movement, the Tuba to Johnny Express, and he's doing the right thing. Maybe if his schedule allows, we can make the connection to get him on Black Power Radio in due time.
Black Power.
Much appreciation to Brother Akon for standing up.
Black Power. And that's a positive thing.
And don't y'all act like y'all don't know who Akon is either. We be getting square in the mud when it comes to Black consciousness, boy. I'm saying we don't know who Akon is. Yeah, Google that brother, Akon. YouTube him if you got to. That's Akon. Let me get these other callers in here.
You want me to sing the song "Locked Up"? Can't let me.
yeah. We know we was bobbing our head to that song. then you get a little Black consciousness. Now you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? All right, let me get this call in. 805-235. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. We're talking about the raging war against Africa. You're now in the conversation. Black Power.
Black Power.
Okay. 805-235. You're on the air. Your mic is open. Well, what's happening is that they're freezing up our screen. I'm trying to make sure everybody gets in it. This is what happens when you organize. This is what happens. If we was talking about coonery and buffoonery, there we go. We'd be live.
That would be wide open.
All day. 805-235. You're now open in the conversation. Your question or comment, please, Black Power.
Woman from L.A. or California.
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing good. What's going on, Warrior Woman?
About three weeks or something like that, Cynthia McKinney came into L.A., and she was talking about how when the rebels came in to North Africa, that they were just killing the black Libyans. And the Mataba independent news said that showed some movies, documentaries on them just attacking the black people in North Africa, beating them up. And also earlier that day, they had a women's conference with the All African People's Revolutionary Party, where they had a woman that was going to the Congo, and showing people being cut up and stuff. To me, the United States did a good number on all of us, that we become just like them. You know, we even want to change the system into a system that is imperialist, even though, because we know no alternative. When I was traveling with Doc to Africa, you know, and I think he was going towards more African than Islamic, because you guys weren't Islamic. You were indigenous, just like we are, you know.
Right.
And to me, it's like, you know, they've been waiting for us overseas. They've been waiting for us for a long time. They said when the black community and the red get together, it's over for the white people here. you know, but we've honestly got to organize and do that. That's why last week, or what was it, a couple of days I called in, then I noticed your phone was messed up, so I just disconnected. And right now, they didn't want to have us and you together. You know what I mean?
Just what, like what happened to the phone?
The phone didn't want to work right now.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, Doc and I were trying to have a unity between Black and Indians and Chicanos, too. It, you know, so when we get our newspaper, we'll just put, you know, but we were so infiltrated with so, you know, and we have to just understand that, you know, that when they kill our leaders, we have to be more organized and more hip to what's going on, you know. You know, they've been killing
right
our leaders for a long time, you know, and today I saw a clip that Venezuela, President Chavez is in Libya, and he's right there next to Gaddafi saying support. So that's going to wake up a lot of brown people to understand that what are we going to wait when they start bombing Africa and the Arab community, and then they're going to start with the South America. It's like we got to have the United Front, and we got to come out. I mean, I go out there, and, you know, I'm glad I just do hit and run, you know?
You're doing it the right way.
We should be more mad than hell of what they're doing, and what, you know, and then blaming us or blaming the Arabs. It's Gaddafi who opened his heart and his, you know, and his land and his media for us when they're going to relocate the Big Mountain people. And this is here in the United States. We should understand everything they do is to kill us. It's the food, the alcohol, the drugs, and our mind. Well, we have to understand if we're going to have an alternative system, it's got to be totally not anything have, you know, with the white people, you know, even the language, you know, we can't even speak our own. It's just like, you know, like I give you my heart with my hand signal, you know what I mean? So
right.
I just want to say Black Power, and I love you guys, and forward
Black
on.
Power.
Black Power.
Look. Love you, too. And warrior woman, listen, thank you so much for sharing that. Because the thing is, with these rebels, and I keep hearing this talk about these rebels and this rebel and this, and what I'm saying is that many of us, we're buying into the propaganda. You don't even know what the hell these rebels are. These so-called rebels, as our national chairman had talked about, these rebels are not, they're not like what you think about in terms of ruffians or so-called thugs or people that's in your neighborhood. These rebels are different tribes. They're different tribes that are divided. They have different leadership. And so what's happening is, and I'm just making it plain for you on Black Power Radio, what's happening is with NATO, NATO is over 20 white nations, white European nations, with military might, military force. And what's happening is NATO is going in and they're bombing the hell out of Africa. And what they're doing, they'll send their provocateurs and CIA and all them on the ground. And what they would do is they will kill. They're killing. They're the ones that are using mercenary forces to kill Black Africans. And so they will kill the blacks up there, and then they'll say to the rebels, look at what you all did. This is what has been reported recently from a brother who they thought was dead in Libya and just came back and told the world what's happening. They said that the NATO forces and those on the ground are killing the Black Africans, killing us over there, and then they're saying to the so-called rebel tribes, look at what you all did as to make them take the blame for it, or to have part in it, when it's actually NATO, the U.S. imperialists, the Zionists, those over there that's back in Israel, those over there that's back in Europe. That's what it's about, and that's what's going on. And so for those of you that's buying this rebel bait, because you hear it all on the news, Fox News, rebel, 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 CNN, the rebel, the rebel, the rebel. Damn it, you a rebel in the hills of North America. if you about something, you know what I'm saying? So let's not get confused in what we're talking about. Those are catchphrases. I'm just trying to explain it for you all. Those are catchphrases that if they use it enough, you'll begin to pick it up and run with it. I mean, just like they say we're 3/5 of a human being. And so guess what? They kept saying we're 3/5 of a human being. We're Negroes.
We're colored people. The next thing you know, we calling ourselves three-fifths of human being. We're saying we're Negroes. We're saying we're colored people because they use these catchphrases enough. So don't y'all be confused about this whole rebel business. This whole business about what's going on is about the white power structure, white supremacy, and them trying to overthrow our black and African governments in Africa and take and rob the resources. You feel what I'm saying out here? Am I on point?
Exactly.
You're all on point. I think that people have to understand that Benghazi is where all the rich people left 30 years ago. There's where they stayed. And the people from Italy was, you know, had put that president in, the one they took out, you know. And so we can understand now the rebels, you know, just like Al-Qaeda is a setup and an organization and a army of the United States. It has to divide and conquer and to make us get confused, because I went to a rally to stop the war, and these white people and Arab young kids that I know, they weren't born 40 years ago, you know, and they were all upset with me having a Gaddafi poster and stuff like that. And, you know, so they, you know, they're the ones who come. The rich ones are the ones that come. I heard the people from Japan, when they came, they swallowed diamonds so that they could have money, you know, and all of us don't have money. We can't just put up a store, you know.
Right,
so
right.
When you read the Green Book, you got to read the Green Book because it breaks it down. Sometimes you have to read it over and over to understand what kind of society he was building. He looked at the imperialist and communist and came out with a third universal theory, you know, it's better than either one of them, you know, and that's what they're mad about, and they're mad about the resources. Us as indigenous people, we always say, what's underneath the land that they wanted, you know, and the last 300 and some reservations in this country were the last resources for the United States government. So when they run out, they got to either kill us all or put fake ones in there, just like they hijacked our demonstration. They hijacked our movement of change, you know. It's just like when the white people said, oh, you know, it's not the war, it's the war, but not the soldiers. The soldiers are the ones, you know, implementing the war, the foot soldiers, you know what I mean? So it's both, you know, but it's how dumb you can, you know, they're the ones living out there. And I think
what we did
Vietnam War is that we wrote to family members in Vietnam and tell them, what the hell are you doing there when we don't even have rights here? And how can we kill another person, you know? We will defend ourselves, you know. Any means will defend ourselves. But we have to honestly expose that country, you know, the United States, for what it is. It's a snake, and it'll always be a snake.
Exactly. And my indigenous family, you know, is the greatest example. We are the greatest example of how a people can give so much to the world, so much to civilization, so much to the building up of even this infrastructure, and be deceived and misused, and then cast to the side, like a piece of trash. I see too many of my indigenous family that, you know, that they put on reservations, alcoholics and opium and things like this. You know, all because of U.S. imperialism. That's the point I'm making. Because of the greed of America. Why don't you see our people, our indigenous family, you know what I mean, as strong as they once was, in charge like they once was? It's because of U.S. imperialism, period.
Peace, Brother Sean. Warrior Woman, I was wanting to ask you a question, since my daughter is here, and every time she missed you, she didn't get to see you in Atlanta. When I was there in Atlanta, we had the event, but she was wanting me to ask you a question. I said, you know, next time Warrior Woman is on, I'm going to make sure I ask her and let her answer that for you. I was wanting her to ask you. But she wanted to know, are white people welcome on the reservations? Because we stay here in Texas, and, you know, Oklahoma is, like, right here by us.
At Redwood, Oyate, the people who are here, we don't. The other reservation, what they do is that they marry them, you know, and so they're watered down Indians, and that's what our lawsuit for the last 8 years has been, is they stole our name, they stole our land base and the resources that was 100-year-old trust fund, and so it's still going on, you know. And in between the 8 years, Bush and those guys are trying to pass a law where the Indian people can no longer sue the United States government because we went to land claims and the form and information was there, a contract was there. And so they misused the contract. But, you know, since he's going to white Indians in Minnesota, the biggest casino, Mystic Lake, that they're, you know, they're all white. And so we're fighting them, and they got money, and we don't. So, but you know, we're moving forward, and I think we need to separate even to the point the movement people separate themselves from the outside world a little, so they can honestly, you know, move forward. Because if we have those white people, they trained us to comfort them. They trained to be slaves. And we said, oh, poor. White man, he comes out here and it's so hot and he's getting burned and, you know, is he okay? You know, forget it. You know, we have to think about ourselves. We need to think about ourselves.
Good point. Good point.
Right.
All the resources is ours, you know, mine and yours.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Sister, we appreciate what you're saying. You're hitting on some pretty heavy points that we're going to have to really pick up on another show, because that is true, that we have been conditioned, the indigenous people, the black man and woman hails of North America, the indigenous red man and red woman, all of us melanated people, we have been conditioned to comfort white
that's
folks.
Right.
And we are the number one defenders of white people. And that's the number one critique that people have with the new Black Panther Party. Why are you so hard on white people? Why are you? and I'm saying we're living with a 400-plus-year-old history here in America that tells you why we're saying what we're saying and moving the way that we're moving, but you ask us why we had the position we have. It's mind-blowing.
That's right.
So, Warrior Woman, we got to get the rest of these calls in.
Peace and love.
Peace and love to you. And, dear family, listen, I just want you to know that that's always a treat. Anytime that we can hear from our sister Warrior Woman who has been in this struggle for decades, I mean, decades and on the front line, you know what I'm saying? I hear that. That's a treat and a real blessing.
Yes. That's why I told my daughter when she was asking me about that, I said, you know, next time I say Warrior Woman is on the show, I say you're going to ask her directly. I say because, you know, they a lot of that stuff that they teach you and learning is just propaganda, just like Thanksgiving. You know, we don't celebrate that, you know, because of what happened, you know, without going into great detail. So that's why I told it's a must that you hear that information from Warrior Woman.
Yeah, black my family, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we sit around carving up turkeys and eating stuffing on what they call Thanksgiving, which represents the massacre of our indigenous family. And just to be clear, because a lot of our people don't know, we do things out of ignorance and things like this. Some of us do things by tradition. It's a time that we come around our families and things. But just so that you know, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad gave us and gave the black nation an alternative to Thanksgiving. Some of you don't know this. It's called GMA. I pronounced it correctly, right?
Yes, you did. GMA.
And so it's an alternative to where you're coming to celebrate your African tradition. You're coming to celebrate your indigenous heritage. You're coming to do something, to talk positive. Bring the family together around positivity. Stop pulling the family together around Santa Claus. Which when the words are arranged spell Satan's claws and things like this and the Easter bunny that lays chicken eggs and all this. we got to get real. It's 2011 and people are struggling and you're talking about Easter bunnies. Come on, man. Let me bring this other caller in. 323-289. You're on the air in the conversation talking about the war against Africa. Your comment, please.
Yes, I'm here with General Taco, Cheryl X, here he is.
Hey, black power and all power to the people. It's got to be my Black Rider family.
Black power to the people. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on with your family?
Just chilling, trying to push this movement.
Man, you've been listening to the show?
Yeah, man, it's been good, man. I don't know y'all had that going on out there.
Brother, we got to get you on the air. For those that don't know this, and I know I know, this is our comrade. This is family. We're talking about our indigenous people. This here is family. We're talking about, as I said in the beginning, all of the Panther regiments. We're giving thanks for all of the Panther regiments, and many of y'all don't know that the Panther is still alive and well and kicking today. This is
right.
General and the chief organizer of the Black Rider Liberation Party, General Taco, who is free. And Taco, you got to tell them what Taco means now, because I know that it had a different meaning back in the day. So you got to tell them what it means today.
Today it means taking all capitalists out. Here's what it is, because brother, you feel me? What happened really with the Bloods and Crips in L.A.? What we've been doing is unifying them brothers and sisters in order to identify their true, real racist enemies. So what happened was in 1996, Bloods and Crips was in jail, in prison, in college. And once we was in there studying, we start organizing and figuring out that Bunchy Carter, who set up the original L.A. chapter of the Black Panther Party, was assassinated. And before he was assassinated, though, he created Crips and Bloods. Clandestine revolution in progress. And once we learned that, we decided to create a new formation that would defeat the racist ruling class of America.
Right.
So in that process, I got out of jail and out of prison and started organizing Bloods and Crips to see the truth. We set up a Watch Your Period program, and I wanted to test that because, you know, I heard a lot of incidents of police brutality and police terrorism. So what we do is we created a Watch Your Period program when we patrol the police out here in L.A. And what we do is give video cameras, bats, tasers, stuff just like that to defend the community against these racist pigs. So the pigs end up setting me up, like, after 10 years of work. And they got me on conspiracy to possess machine guns, to shoot up 4 different police stations. And I was fighting that case for, like, 16 months.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We keep laying it out there, because you free now. But the thing was, they have been trying to hunt you down for some years. Any Panther know that the pig is always going to be on your trail, regardless. I don't care if you're going to buy some toilet paper from the store. And pigs want to know what kind of brand of toilet paper we use. So Taco, listen. Tell us now some of the moves that the party's made, because now the thing is this. Is that, and I've been saying this for months. That we have to build up the left coast, the west coast. It got to be built up from the top to the bottom, right?
That's right.
And so, tell us some of the moves that's going on now with the party, and some of the things that's happening.
Well, just recently in the last year, we've been dealing with the Oscar Grant situation, where the pigs up in Oakland on a bar station assassinated this brother named Oscar Grant while he was on his stomach, shot him in the back. So the pigs was charged with murder. They did a change of venue and brought the pig down from Oakland to L.A., thinking that everybody out here is going to be banged out, burnt out, and not going to stand up to their dog asses.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is, we was organizing with the family structure in order to put more pressure on the pig to get the pig convicted. So ultimately, the pigs try to attack us at the end of the court date on the verdict. And our comrades defending ourselves, and 2 of our comrades got arrested. And ever since then, we've been raising consciousness around the issue of police terrorism constantly around the country, organizing within the prison industrial complex to put our national prison chapter together.
Right on, right on, right on. Talk to us about this situation in Africa right now, because we're talking about, and I know y'all are well versed with it, this U.S. imperialism that has determined to usurp every single African leader in Africa and usurp the land, the mineral, the resources. Talk to us about the terrorism that's happening in Africa and how it reflects us here in America.
Well, basically, like y'all said already, they're going in to recolonize and dominate. Our thing is to recognize that tribalism also exists here within South Central. Our thing is to destroy that tribalism and change the gangster mentality into a revolutionary mentality. These pigs have launched World War III. and we have to organize and unite with the rest of the third world and anti-imperialist country to bring down the racist ruling class of America. And that's our thing, getting with all the guerrillas, getting with all the people who struggling against this fascist beast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, one thing that I know my comrades specialize in, I hear you can jump in too. My comrades specialize in dealing with the street tribes. Now, I always say we don't call them gangs. We don't say gangs. We say street tribes. And so, talk to our people now, because many of our people, comrade, they feel hopeless against the tribes. They feel like that the tribes are the reason why things are the way they are in the black community. Talk to the people on why it's necessary to unite the street tribes and the role of the street tribe in the black struggle.
Well, our position is we have to understand the true history of the Bloods and Crips to make us recognize that we need to make a change into a revolutionary mentality. See, back in the day, J. Edgar Hoover and COINTELPRO pushed crack cocaine and military weapons into our community. And also dealing with Reagan with the Iran-Contra scandal. And their thing was to support the Contras to go against the Sandinista revolution in Nicaragua. In order to fund that, they brought in crack cocaine, the Catholic Freeway, Ricky Ross, and other big-time dope dealers, and brought these military weapons and this crack cocaine in to basically knock out two birds with one white rock. And our thing is to educate our
right
to where this came from with the crack cocaine and the military weapons. And see, our thing is also to look at the true history of self-hatred and what was done to our people during slavery. You know, on the slave plantation, one thing they did was drill the fear into the slave mother while she was pregnant. They would dig a big hole in the ground, the slave pregnant mother to the hole, and beat her back until it was coarse, until it was calloused up. So it instilled fear into the child. And that self-hatred and that fear was instilled into all of our people and has been passed down from generation to generation, thereby creating the Blood and Crip mentality, creating the gang culture that's in our minds today amongst the youth. So I think as OGs and people coming from the gang history, see, we know it. We can identify the damn pigs and the CIA been sending people into our community just to understand the graffiti on the wall, just to understand the hand sign that's being thrown up because they can't understand it, and that's not our advantage. Our advantage is to look at each tribe as a self-compelled unit that will move on a fascist state, that will move on an enemy power structure.
Exactly.
That's right.
Now, can it be regulated? That's what the people want to know from our comrades. Can it be regulated? Can the violence and the self genocide, the black on black crime, what's happening in the streets? In your estimation, can it be regulated?
The other thing is, it's not an issue of can it be regulated. It's the fact that we're regulating it right now. We've been brought in Bloods and Crips all over L.A. to join this new generation Black Panthers, which we call Black Riders. And since then, we've created gang troop football games amongst the hood with brothers coming out in their different colors playing gang on a peace level to build up tolerance in the brothers, to build up their consciousness, to make them understand that we one family, one nation, and one community. And these type of activities, really going into the streets, really talking to the brothers. And also, we be out there standing in front of the brothers, whether they be armed or not, and telling them, don't gangbang, recognize the real racist enemies, which is the pigs, the politicians,
right,
these man clowns that trying to run our community. But at the same time, we're going to take power back over our community, and that's what we pushing to the brothers. They recognize there's a need for armed self-defense against the pigs. Our thing is to push this into the community, because recognize those Bloods and Crips are warriors. They just misdirected. They have misdirected right because the enemy beat down the fear and the self-hatred to our people, so now we know what to really unleash on. And our thing is to set up the ultimate drive-by against the fascist state.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And so let me ask you this now, because we want to send shouts out. I want to be clear and send a shout out to my comrade and brother out there, Brother Malik El Ghani. I know that y'all have been coordinating and working with Brother Malik El Ghani out there in L.A. too. With this Day of Action movement, what can we do to make sure that the Day of Action movement is successful? What that is October the 1st, and we're trying to make sure that everybody does something good in the hood on that day, something good in the black community. What would you like to see happen on the Day of Action movement October 1st?
To the streets, put on all black, and throw a black power all the way around the country, and then get video cameras, arm myself and defend ourselves from the racist pigs. Real things
right
that we
on.
Need to be.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sister Iyer, you still with us? I hear you in that.
Yeah, I'm still.
Chiming in.
No, I'm still here. I'm just enjoying Brother Taco, you know, breaking it down. You know, I'm really enjoying all that information. And be sure on the day of action, you know, I got to put my commercial, my Black Power commercial in. Please throw in the supplies for Senegal. Get us a donation so we can throw to Senegal in the name of Black Power.
My fake ass parole officer will put a GPS tracking device on my leg where I have to charge up an hour in the morning, an hour at night. My own oppression or SWAT team will be hitting my house. See, we've been raided numerous times in LA because we've been out here pushing in the street, and we organizing everybody that's really with the revolution. And our thing is to hook up with anybody who's anti fascist, capitalist, imperialist. We need to constantly organize our. All over the country. And one of the problems is right now with the East Coast and West Coast is we still smarting and we still having psychological issues over the East Coast, West Coast beef that took place between Eldridge and Huey back in the day. Not realizing
that's right.
Who made that division? And that division exists right now. So most of the time, brothers and sisters on the East Coast don't even hear about the Black Riders and the new generation Black Panther Party pushing in the hood no more. They don't that Bloods and Crips are organizing right now today, and that should be a clear example to everybody, whether you're Christian or you're Muslim, whether you're light-skinned or you're dark-skinned, you should realize that Bloods and Crips are tying their rats together, throwing up their fists, putting their guns up, and let them know it's going down. Revolution is happening. That should be an inspiration to every Black person on this planet. Once you see Bloods and Crips get together, if they can unify, anybody can unify. It's time for us to have the fascist state of America.
That's real, and what we're going to do, comrade, what we're going to do is make sure that doesn't happen, that you have my contact, I got yours. What we're going to do is that whatever you all have, I know that you all were pushing a newspaper and probably still pushing that newspaper, whatever articles that you all have that you all want to submit to the new Black Panther paper is wide open. I'm just telling you as your brother and your comrade that, you know, if you sleep on that, that's on y'all. But whatever we can do to expand the movement and expand the cause is open to you, whatever y'all got. We wide open. We one family. So we want to use every avenue that we can to expand from the east to the west. The mission of the Black Rider Liberation Party, the mission of the new Black Panther Party, the mission of our people in general. Bump all the labels. Just the mission of our people to get free. It's wide open to you, family.
See, our main thing is we need funds out here, brother. We down here putting this together, telling brothers to stop gangbanging, which implies stop selling crack. And see, what we need is funds so we can get more Bloods and Crips involved in this, so we can stop killing each other and stand up to these real demons. And see, we need funds. We need support. We're trying to set up an after-school program. We're trying to set up a karate class for kids. We're trying to set up different free food distribution centers. We're trying to set up all kind of things that's necessary to boost this up. And everybody throughout America needs to be sending funds down here in L.A. It's cool that we're doing stuff about the Sudan and Haiti and all these other places in Africa, but right here, we got the third world. Right here, this is the poorest place of Black people in America, and that's in L.A. And that's why so much tribalism and so much gangbanging, and we down here broke and poor, but we out here pushing this revolution with food stamps. We out here pushing with quarter nickels and dimes, and we need dollars, and we need hunks and chunks to be supported all throughout the community, throughout the whole of America, bringing in funds and support. That's one of our main things. Definitely we'll put in an article in the new Black Panther paper, but what we really need is some funds and support to get these brothers out of jail who just defending themselves for these coward pigs on the Oscar Grant case. You know, we need support and lawyers to get this damn GPS tracking device off my leg. We're going to keep pushing whether they strap me down or not, because I consider it to be an honor, a badge of honor to be watched every single day, and they better keep watching
me.
I'm on their head.
That's right, brother. That's right. So what you got to do now, bro, you got to give out the information, because we got people listening from all over the world. Give out the information on where they can send money orders, where they can send checks, or where they can make a deposit, whatever they can do. Tell them how they can help the mission.
All right, man. I'm going to put the PO box for you. So you and man through there, but at the same time, I appreciate being allowed to speak on your radio station because we're down here in L.A., and we're trying to put this together. We need connections and communication from here to Africa and back again, and that's our thing, to get together with everybody and show it. Where the kids can unify, they can damn body can unify, and we must wake up and see the truth.
All right.
Hold on one minute, bro.
Oh yes, sir. We'll hold, and then finally, like I'm telling you, I'm just saying to you this, that we're one nation. We're not playing. See what I'm saying is, other people you're out there set tripping, and the people is dying in the streets. What we're saying is this: we're saying we're one nation, one people. We're moving as one unit, and so we're gonna give our comrade a second to get
no.
the information, so he can send and support the effort. Go ahead, Sister Ayer.
Oh no! I'm over here at the gym right now. I was just listening to everything that was going on. Sorry about that. Information.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. The PO box number is PO box 8297.
PO box 8297. Okay, that's L.A.
Los Angeles, California.
Okay. Okay, which comrade is this? Do I know you, sis? You got to be my comrade.
My name is Lala, Chief of Staff for the Black Riders.
Sister Lala, Sean Quali, what's happening, comrade? How you been?
I've been good. Power to the people, sir.
Power to the people, man. Good to hear your voice. Long-time soldier, long-standing soldier. You doing your thing, queen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You ready for the zip code, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
The zip code is 900,008.
All right, give it to him one more time, the whole full thing.
All right, from beginning, P.O. Box 8297, Los Angeles, California, 900,008.
There it is. That's from top to bottom.
Black
there
pound.
It is. And we'll make sure that we put that up in the chat room. We're going to put that up in the chat room for all of our listeners and all of you that can support. We got comrades that are fighting. I know that the brother is Brother Militant Man still around? I know Brother Militant Man was knocking some people out a little while back. He was knocking
yes,
some people
actually,
out.
He was the brother actually put in jail over the Oscar Grant situation when the verdict came down on November 5th. He was one of the comrades that got rounded up after defending themselves because a racist pig actually tried to encounter our line and our squad while we were smashing in front of the court building and ended up getting dubbed on his neck by Conrad. And, you know, it got caught on the international scope because CNN got it. LAPD just got made look like a fool, you feel me? So he one of the brothers that's actually still locked down right now that we need funds for to actually help get out of jail.
Right on. Do we have his information handy or can we get it later?
You can get it later. I don't have it at hand with me right now, but whenever.
Yeah, that would be peace if you can get that, sis.
I'm talking to people at General Taco again. I want to throw out most of respects to Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz. Every time he hear that live, we're like the whole new Black Panther Party to know. We bodyguarded that brother 30 deep when he came out here for Khalid Muhammad's memorial. And every time he comes out here, we bodyguard him and do security on the brother. The brother know who I am. Power to the people.
Oh, yeah. Power to the people. Power to the people. That goes without saying. We move as one unit. I'm just trying to let the family know and those that are listening, those that may not be in tune on what's happening is that you're looking at one nation of people, one unit. Panthers role as comrades. And so, General Taco, anything that you want to say in closing, brother, because we got a few minutes left in the show, but anything that you want to lead the people with?
Yeah, I want to call for a national murder of the new Black Panther Party and Black Rider. Holla at me. Power to the people.
Power to the people. Well, you already got that. Let me just tell you, we already, enough said on that. Yes, sir. And so there it is. And it's just funny. Every time we get off into organizing, we get off into building, and these daggone screens, these lines freeze and all of this. But I'm still saying this. That's what it's about. That is what it's about. We have to have revolutionary action in our communities immediately, ASAP, like yesterday. Yesterday. And so shouts out to all of my comrades in the Black Rider Liberation Party, all of my comrades, past and present, those that may have given up on the struggle but still got it in their heart. Whatever the case is, all my comrades from the New Black Panther Party on the West Coast that are somewhere rolling around that got it in their heart, man. We one nation, we one family, and now is our time to unify. And so
that's
thank
right.
you so much, General Taco, our comrade and our brother. He already know he's going to hear from me, so you ain't got to worry about it. And so let me try to pull my family on. Last little caller here, like I said, these lines are freezing up because, like I said, like I you know, these ain't our lines. You know that right now we don't have our own electric company. You know what I mean? Out here we don't have our own electric company, so they just freeze us out when they want to freeze us out. It's wild as hell, but we organizing and we moving. So I'm gonna try to pull you on in here. 609-503. That's the number that you're in the conversation. You're in the conversation on Black Power Radio. 609-503. We're talking about the raging war against Africa. The raging war against Africa. And as soon as our enemy quit messing with the line, you're gonna open up. There you go. 609-503. You're on the air. Black Power Radio. Talk black to us. Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean. This is Sister Marty. From Trenton,
hey,
how you
Black,
doing?
Black Power, what's happening,
my auntie? All right, I just wanted to call in and say y'all doing a great job on the show tonight. And
I
was happy and elated to hear about the new development with the Tuba Dajani project with Brother Akon coming on board. That's Black Power. Yes. And
Brother
I wanted
Akon
to say...
stepped out there. Go ahead, sister.
Yes, that's just an indication of the work that we're doing, the moves that we're making. So we're bringing our plans into fruition. I want to give a big shout out to you, Sister Ayira, for doing your thing with the Tuba Dajani project.
Hey, Peace, we all trying to do it together, but we're going to bust them wide open, sis, with that rites of passage program that we're going to do for the girls. I'm out of breath, y'all, because I'm running. You know, you got to stay in trouble if you're going to knock somebody out.
I hear that, sis. Yes, let's definitely get the sisters thing going. Strong and get it going right. We'll probably do something coming up with the summit.
Yeah.
That's what our plan's on, but I just really wanted to call in and say Black Power to you and Sean. Y'all doing a great job on the radio show.
Right.
We're working hard on the Tuba Dajani project down here in Trenton. We're getting donations after donations after donations, so we're doing our part to make it all happen. And I just can't see it to come in fruition on October 1st and, you know, beyond. I have one question I wanted to pose to y'all, one question. What are our plans after October 1st, after the initial shipment?
This is just the beginning right here, sis. We're trying to bridge those gaps. This is just the first of many shipments. The first of many to come. We're going to keep that bridge firm, the foundation firm, and we're going to just keep it going.
Yeah, and I mean, I got to say this to all who are our disciples, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, you members of the New Black Panther Party, you disciples of the Black Panther Party of the 1960s, you disciples of the Black Panther Party, Lowndes County, Alabama, Mukasa Riggs, the Honorable Kwame Ture, whatever the case is, if you're a disciple of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, Martin Delaney, Toussaint Louverture, or whatever, which one of our freedom fighters and warriors and ancestors, Queen and Zinga, Queen Hatshepsut, whoever you can name, they all would approve of us building international trade.
That's right.
They all would approve of us building relations with our mother continent and international trade, period, point blank. And so we're at the stage now where we can't keep saying, well, we got to do this, we got to do that, this is what has to happen, the Black community need to do this. We got to now take our own destiny in our own hands. That's the bottom line. So you can't blame Sean Kwali for not supporting the Black cause. You can't blame Ayira. You can't blame Mahdi. You can't blame General Taco. You can't blame nobody if you don't get involved with this cause yourself in 2011 after these crackers are kicking our behinds up and down the block. You know what I mean? So for October the 1st, Sister Mahdi, October the 1st is just the start. It is our declaration. Like, you know how these white folks got the declaration on July 4th and they declaring their independence. Well, this is our declaration. We declaring that we have international trade with our mother continent, that we are international. It's an international struggle, and the head of the snake appears right here at home in the United Snakes of America, right here in the United Snakes of America. So I'm saying all that to say that yeah, we're not stuck on October 1. October 1 is just the start. But once that international connect is made, then you got to look for all the resources possible. And at a particular time, we got to even get off into another area, which we can't talk about on the air, which we'll just say about self-defense, all about Africa, and all about our people that's here in the hells and smells of North America. So, yeah, we appreciate Trenton. Shouts out to Trenton. Shouts out to Divine Allah, Brother Zai, all of the comrades, everybody that's in Trenton, everybody that's in Newark, everybody that's in New York, everybody that's in Philly, everybody up and down the East Coast, man, we got nothing but love for you.
And since Jersey's in the house, I gotta shout my sister out, Keisha, and I definitely always
hell
gotta
yeah.
shout my sister out, Sister Sheena, cause she know I'm sending her a hug from the south.
You already
all right.
know.
All right, we definitely appreciate that down here in Trenton, and I look forward to continue doing the great work. And again, I just want to big y'all up. Y'all doing a great job with the show.
Thanks, sis.
Thanks, sis. Like power to you. And that's what it is now. I know you at the gym. We got about 14 minutes left. You're a testament to the black woman. You at the gym on the treadmill and you're running the radio show.
We got a multitask.
But I'm steady saying to the people, we just gotta know how important what's going on is. It's not a time to mess around. And I do wanna say this. I do wanna say it in these last remaining minutes, out of everything we talked about, the Tuba to Johnny Express. I talked about bringing, you know, our national chairman and the moves that he's making, and you know what I mean, all this. Don't forget about Troy Davis. I'm banging on my desk, and I'm just saying.
They talking about him now.
Yeah, everybody listening to me under the sound of my voice right now, don't you forget about our political prisoners. Those are prisoners, our prisoners
right.
of war. We are political prisoners in the hells of North America, but those that are in them concentration camps, don't you forget about our political prisoners. Don't forget about our brother right now that's facing execution, facing, I'm going to say, assassination is what I'm saying.
Facing assassination,
our brother Troy Davis, who we already know from the Black Power General, is in the hands of the criminal justice system, criminal injustice system, and he's not receiving a fair trial. He's not being judged by a jury of his peers. All of the evidence already promotes his innocence, promotes that he didn't even do it, and yet they're pushing forward with the case. The appeals are being exhausted, and I believe that it's the 25th, I think it is, right? Which date is it?
I believe it's
the 21st.
21st,
they're set to assassinate our brother. They're set to assassinate another innocent black man. Another innocent black man in the hands of this beast, and not enough of us are aware of what's going on. We're not aware of what's happening, and some of us don't even give a damn.
And we can't Facebook it out. We're going to have to walk it out, do something physical, and get out there and get on it.
Yeah, this Facebook thing is something else, man. This Facebook revolutionary thing is something. I remember Honorable Comrade Minister Huey P. Newton and Chairman Bobby Scheer, they used to talk about armchair revolutionaries. And this generation,
yeah.
we have produced a generation of Facebook revolutionaries. You know what I mean? And I'm saying this. I'm saying I got a page, but I'm not spending my whole day on no page updating no status.
Brother Sean, you mean you're not putting big words and letters talking about what you're gonna do?
Nah, I can't do it. It doesn't seem to produce freedom for me, sis. I don't know about some of these other ones out here, but for me, I ain't never got free off of no Facebook. You know, it don't happen. And then Facebook to me is just a sidebar. Facebook is lame as hell nowadays. If you ain't talking about no organizing, no, you know what I mean,
exactly.
no politics, you ain't talking about nothing revolutionary, man. Facebook is lame as hell, man.
Exactly.
I don't know if it's just me. Could just be me, baby. I'm just getting old.
Brother Sean, get up, family. Brother Sean, I got up to you.
Yeah, baby. You know what I'm saying? Like that'll be the next thing on Facebook. Sean Kwali that got up and he did Facebook and everybody on Facebook. I'm just saying it's kind of lame. But what I do like though is the fact that many of those who are active and conscious that you're pushing on Facebook this campaign with Brother Troy Davis. And we're going to have to give out the number. You got the number on you once again?
No, I don't have the number on me right now.
All right, I'm trying to pull it up, man. And like I said, my daggone computer's
acting crazy. You
might have
to go on Facebook, partner, on my page.
Yeah, well, okay. I ain't got no problem with doing that. So I promise you all within the next few minutes we're going to give you this number to call for our brother Troy Davis, who right now is fighting for his life. Also, keeping in your prayers, your meditations, whatever your spiritual connection is, if you have one, keeping your own subconscious the positive thoughts of our brother Gil Noble. For those of you who don't know who Gil Noble is, he is the host of that legendary show Like It Is, and he interviewed many of our greats and put many of our greats on Front Street and had them in the best light. Our brother Gil Noble suffered a stroke. He suffered a stroke and they wrote him off. I mean literally the doctors pretty much had wrote him off. But Gil Noble is making a fast recovery. He's moving and he's getting back, trying to come back to himself, and he's fighting for his life in that hospital. That's just a testament to the strength of the black man and the black woman. And so keep Gil Noble in your thoughts and your meditations, your spiritual connection. Keep him in whatever your regimen is, so that we can send that positive vibe and that positive energy to our brother, because he needs it in this hour. And there's others. Like I say, we really with these upcoming this day of action and the upcoming weeks behind that, we really need a massive campaign for our political prisoners and prisoners of war.
Yes, and there's so much genocide going on against blacks. I want to also send a special shout out to the community of Detroit. Elderly black woman, 101 years old, she was evicted out of her home after 65 years. And they were putting the sisters, she's 101 years old. And I mean, if our family in Detroit and us can't rise up as a black nation, it was one of the comrades that posted some of my page. If we all put 25 cents aside, this woman can have a house, bag, and probably new furniture on the inside. But it seems like that they're not reporting on CNN. They're not reporting anywhere else, but we need to get that message out. So I really want the family in Detroit to raise up and let us all in the country community know what we can do in order to help this elder.
You said
101.
101 years old, our sister, our queen mother, and old nasty, rotten, crooked city of Detroit government put out of her home?
Yes. And, you know, there's so many conscious groups in Detroit. I mean, we got to help this elder out. I mean, we shouldn't even yell Black Power, RBG, nothing if we don't help this elder get her home back.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, if we don't help this sister in Detroit, I'm gonna try to pull it up now. I'm going to have to get a name. If we don't help this sister in Detroit, I mean, we all need help, but I'm saying this is our elder. This sister has made it 101 years young. And so what I'm saying is that if that was your grandmother, or your mother, or your auntie, or what have you, we'd all be up in arms, and we got to feel it the same way. We got to feel it just like that, because that's exactly what it is. We one family. So anybody that's near Detroit, and we got Detroit contacts, anybody that's near Detroit, let's begin to mobilize on that situation with our sister being put out of her home. And any organization in Detroit, we've got to be on that immediately. And I'm here to say about Detroit, we ain't forgot about Ayanna Jones, man. I'm still on that.
That's right.
Let me say this in the last few minutes. We ain't forgot about Ayanna Jones, man. I was disappointed in the community's response about Ayanna Jones, but that's another topic for another day. But just saying. Certain things we you know, it's just like feathers in my cap. I can't let them go. Oscar Grant, we like the comrade Taco said, we're not gonna let that go. You know what I'm saying? Anthony Hill in Newberry, South Carolina, we're not gonna let that go. Our newest assassination, Brother James Anderson, Brother James C. Anderson, and in I think it was Jackson, Mississippi.
That's right.
James Anderson in Jackson, Mississippi. You hear about that? Ran over by two white supremacists. A group. He was beat to the point of almost death in a hotel parking lot, minding his business, where two Caucasian white supremacists, well, that means the same. Two white supremacists were out looking, trying to find any black person they could find. He was the first one they ran across. And they beat him to an inch of his life. And then when he got up, they got in their pickup truck and ran up on the sidewalk and drove over our brother. Now, I have not heard enough of us as so-called conscious people or activists. I ain't heard enough of us talk about this situation. But hell with talk, I ain't heard none of us talk about organizing, moving, no nothing on this. And this is 2011. For all of you that like to say that those of us that do this work, we dinosaurs, we living in the past, this is 2011.
That's right.
You know
and
what I'm
for,
saying? So, go ahead.
For all who's listening, in case me and Brother Sean is put on the spot, like, you know, the low-down dirty pigs put our chairman on the spot, anytime somebody run over somebody in our community, we need to burn rubber on their ass in their community.
Man, now you're talking. I'm saying eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, life
that's
for
right.
a life, limb for a limb. That's how the Black Project told us. And what that means for those of you that may be weak hearted, sissified, punctified, that means that if you kill my dog, I gotta kill your goldfish. That's what that means.
Right on.
You know what
right
I mean?
On.
I mean that's just what that means. Until we get that revolutionary spirit to where you ain't gonna just move on our community, then I mean this type of stuff will continue to happen. Jackson, Mississippi must stand up. Period. Point blank. As we push for these days of action, the Tuba to Johnny and all that. At the end of the day, we still got to deal with the racist police, the pigs. We still got to deal with the fuck wild brutality. We got to deal with these mob attacks. We got to deal with this ignorance and all this right here in the hells and smells of North America. So don't nobody think that just because we're talking international that we don't forgot about what's happening right here at home. We're dealing with this every single day. So Jackson gonna have to stand up. Those of you that's
right.
near Jackson, Mississippi, get with us. Email us either at dareactionmovement.org. DareActionMovement.org or just get us direct at nbpphq@yahoo.com. I'm talking about we need some direct action. We need the kind of action that the Black Power General put on them when they drug Brother James Byrd. We need some comrades and some soldiers that's willing to go to the black community and defend the black community locked and loaded. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And you don't know if you're coming back or not. That's what time that is. You know what
exactly.
I mean? That's what time it is, and that's where many of you that's in the street tribes too. Since you're already packing, you're already, you know what I mean, doing your thing, and you already riding. We need you involved with that. Ain't nobody excluded from defending the black nation. So that's what it is. Never forget that name, Brother James C. Addison, who is now an ancestor, because of this rabid beast.
That's right.
You know, that blood that soaks that soil that'll be avenged. That'll be avenged. And so, yeah, we got it. We're going to have to get ready to close out, Aya, but anything you want to say in closing, though? I'm going to get this number.
In closing, again, I just want to continue to, I know I sound like a Black Power radio show, but they run their propaganda, so let me run mine. Please donate clothes, shoes, school supplies for the Tuba Tu Johnny. You can hit us up on Facebook. We got a United Ministry of Pan-Africans. Hit me up on Facebook, Ayera Ayotunde Ife, 405-294-2283. Anytime I have my phone on day and night, even for those who want to play on the phone, I'm always open. I just want to keep that information out, not just clothing, but we need monetary donations as well. It can be as small as $5. We don't care. We just need to focus on our family in Africa. And anybody preaching disunity against what we're trying to do, that Negro is the enemy, flat out, because we're about unity.
Straight up, man. And why do y'all do that? It's like, when we was pushing the day of action at first, and we all had our numbers out. You know what I mean? All these little sissy-ass agents was calling my phone, talking about you better not. I was scheduled to be in Chicago. They talking about you better not showing up in Chicago. You're going to meet your maker and all this type of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was right there in Chicago with y'all punk asses anyway.
you remember we all got that call at 4 a.m.
The 4 a.m. call. For those of y'all that don't know, the pigs was playing on our phones, man. They was playing on the phones, talking all this mess, and we was right there. We still here. I'm trying to get you all this number for brother Troy Davis in the last few seconds here. But if we don't get it, then I'll make sure that by the next show. Saturday, by Saturday, really before Saturday. I'm going to get it to you all before Saturday, as best I can. I'll put it on my phone.
And I gave it to him three times on the show, too.
Okay, go back to the archives. For those of y'all, go back to the archives and pull up that number. I'm your brother, Soldier in Arms, your comrade in battle, Sean Kwali. This is Sister Ayira, your comrade and Sister Warrior. We signing off saying we love you. Stay strong. Black power to black people. Power to the people. Let's keep fighting. Tuba to Johnny Express. October the 1st, National Day of Action. It's going down. Black power.
Black power.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned, everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes, it's a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. It is a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality will remain in but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war. War. And until the ignoble and unhappy regime that hold our brothers in Angola, in Mozambique, South Africa, by human bondage have been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere is war.